FM. Manassas, Virginia, Washington, D.C. Everything that's on your mind is on 106.
If you do the free FM thing,
point
free FM
7.
They need people to tune in.
Words are so hard.
What part about this being a mix?
Do not understand.
We don't even know what we're doing the rest of the show.
106.7!
Tune in. WJFK. Virginia. Washington, D.C. Everything is on you.
Hello.
Hello.
Speak up, please. Good morning.
Sorry, I laid the phone down.
That's all right.
Oh, that was a long vacation. It was like being on hold for 9 days.
That happens.
Yeah. You know, looking at the, you know, a lot of this, if you use as an example, if you watch the MTV Music Awards.
Right.
People that came up on stage, you could see the way they paired people off. And I'd like to do something different. And after I mention the Don and Mike show, I'd like to pretend that I'm on the Music Awards and say,
get another caller. See, that's why we need a 7-second delay. That's a darn shame. And see, the thing of it is, I actually like the Don and Mike show. So, for those of us who, people who don't know, anyway, I really like those guys.
The Don and Mike show.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Bo-Damn Show, the best of Don and Mike. I'm your host, Legendary Joe Oranger, with you on this fine, fine Thursday afternoon. Let me look at my notes. Oh, I see. It's April 5th. Happy April 5th, everybody. It's Thursday, day before Friday. Don and Mike on spring break. I hear they're blistering all the wet t-shirt contests down in Fort Lauderdale, Daytona, Panama City, and Point South. They'll be back soon. Until then, you've got me, the Legendary Joe Archer, with you, and lots. Let's say it all together now. A heap and steam and
for you.
So, let's get right into it. Stick around. I've got an announcement to make later. But you know that already. Anyway, let's get into it. It's, my notes, my sheet. Let me look at my sheet. It's a big sheet, too. It's a lengthy sheet. And it has the word in the first segment. It says absinthe. I don't know what that means, but let's find out together. It's the best of the Don and Mike show on the Westwood One Radio Network.
I'm the cream of the crop.
Backwards. There's really only two things of note to mention. Totally unrelated. I was so glad to go down to the beach and spend some time with Big Frieda. Spend some quality time with Big Frieda.
I know that had to be a little tough for you. How'd that go?
It was, but it went great. You know, I love her and she's wonderful and we're both doing, you know, much better than we thought we would. So that was great to see her. And then once I was done with the family stuff, I had GF come down and figured, well, what the heck, we'll have a nice night down there at the beach on Sunday night, and Buzz and Marcia were house sitting.
Right.
We'll get back to Buzz and Marcia momentarily.
Wow, I can't wait for that part.
Because I didn't want the hassle of bringing the dogs down to the beach, and you know, everybody's down there with the dogs on Memorial Day, and you know, with two of them, and the GF's got a dog too. It gets crazy with too many dogs.
Right. Memorial Day's a hassle because you got to put the dogs in those uniforms and everything. It's a drag. One for the Air Force, Marines, Navy, Coast Guard. It's ridiculous.
Anyway, when I was at Big Frieda's house before I left, mm-hmm. She said, "Oh, you know what? On Thanksgiving when you came over, and you might remember this. That's when I was really really started to hit rock bottom with everything that happened to Frida, that we had had a bottle of Buzz. There's the name again, Buzz.
Hi.
Buzz's stuff, Absinthe.
I am.
That's where I made my son stop the car at the side of the road, and I was like screaming, "F you, God!" And I was just,
if you're gonna spew into this,
mad and just, you know, letting it go. And
right.
Anyway, she held up that bottle and she said, "There still is about a half a bottle of this if you want to take it with you." And I said, "Sure, thank you very much." Then, you know, did that, left, go to the beach place. This is Sunday afternoon.
Okay.
By now, the girlfriend has driven down. She's arrived. She said, "How did it go? You know, with Big Frida, are you doing okay?" I said, "Oh, things went great." I said, "You know, because Ocean City is where Frida was killed, it has been hard for me to go back there, even though it's been like my second home for the whole time we were married, and mm-hmm. I went there every summer when I was a kid."
Right.
So anyway, it's been tough to go back there, but it's better now. So things are fine, and the girlfriend is there, and she says, "How did it go?" And I said, "It went great." I said, "You know what? I'm feeling just really good about things. I've got some of this absinthe. Here's what I think we should do. We should get a couple of these plastic glasses, and we should pour the absinthe in and put a lot of ice in and just go sit down by the beach." I said, "It'll be really great because all we need to do is sip, and we can have fun, and I can listen to my music, and you can read your book, and then when we start to get loaded, we can goof on people." And she said, "Oh, I'm up for this." So I made two pretty tall plastic glasses of absinthe.
Man with fire.
Did you use water? Did you add water?
Yes, absolutely, Buzz. Yeah. Did it exactly the way
you... sugar in there?
Yes, I did. Exactly the way it's recommended. Came outside.
Did you say brilliant?
I did.
Came outside, sat down, and after about a half an hour, held up her glass as opposed to my glass and said, "Oh." I said, "You're not sipping enough." She said, "I thought you said it's a sipping." I said, "Come on, catch up. Have some." This was the bad... This is where it made the bad turn.
Oh.
Because...
She's a smaller person than you are.
Yeah. Well, like everybody's a smaller person than me. But, yeah. And then it was 3 hours of just total happiness and bliss. I mean, laughing and... you know what it's like. And pressure was off.
It's a pretty amazing feeling.
We're getting loaded out on the beach, and it's nice because you're not supposed to, but the lifeguards turn the other way.
Right.
I realized at one point just how really awful I get, how happy I was. That's what you say, Mike, is happy.
Mm-hmm. Festive.
This kind of reminds me of you, of what happened to me.
Oh, no.
Not particularly proud of any of it. Not that it's awful. There's a guy that lives across the street from me in Ocean City, and I've seen him out on his deck every year for the whole time we lived there, and it's one of those things you wave at him, you say hello, and after Frida passed away, you know, all these neighbors that I had only known from waving, they all came over and said hello. Well, when my girlfriend got down there, I happened to say to her before we started drinking the absinthe, I said, "Oh, look at that guy. That guy across the street looks like the fat guy that used to look like he's lost 100 pounds. I said, "I lost 100 pounds. I know what it looks like." I mean, you know, the guy reminds me kind of me. He's kind of still heavy, but if you had seen him before, you'd think,
right.
Oh, my God. So fast forward to now. It's now 5:15 p.m. We've been on the beach in the hot sun, and I should mention, I have had Zippy to eat.
Okay,
because I...
This is all day?
All day.
Yeah, a little breakfast, maybe?
I had a cup of coffee. Then I went to see Big Frida and thought, I didn't have the appetite to eat.
Right.
And then I got back and I said to her, "You know what, I'll get something to eat later. Let's just go down to the beach."
So your stomach is empty.
Empty. Totally empty. It's about 5 o'clock.
Filled with a green fairy.
We've been sitting there for 3 hours, and he came up, and the first thing that she said to me was, "You're slurring your words." She said, do you realize that? You're slurring your words.
You have a tendency when you imbibe that it goes right to that motor function.
Did you notice the missed calls?
Yes, you called a couple times, right?
Yeah, I mean, there was, you know, before this guy, this neighbor walked up, there was a lot of, you know who would know that? Rob.
Right.
Let's call Rob.
Right.
And I would like go, "Ah, damn, where is Rob?"
Target.
Yeah, he was a target. So the guy comes over and he says, "How you doing?" And the guy's name is, I won't give his full name, is Jeff. He says, "How you doing?" I say, "Jeff." I go to shake his hand. I say, "I was just telling my friend, you've lost 100 pounds. And he said, Actually, I've lost 102. He said,
wow.
I got my stomach stapled.
So you nailed it.
He said, I got my stomach stapled.
Wow.
And he lifted up a shirt. He lifted up a shirt, and I just
was it a Sharpay thing?
No, I mean, it was. I know that I offended him because I turned away. I mean, there was nothing to see. It's not like.
Yeah. Did you turn away like this? Ooh!
Yeah, but without going to ooh. It was like, I know I did that. And I got the look from, you know, girlfriend, like, come on, what are you doing? So I turn back and I say, well, you know, he pulls his shirt back down and I say, you're looking great. You're looking great. More power to you. And he's telling me he's walking and everything. And I said, and also, I said, as long as we're talking, because, you know, it's like the movie Rear Window. Everybody looks at everybody in this, mm-hmm. in this area that I live in. I said, I have to tell you that when I was observing you and your weight loss, that also I have to say, your mother is really also, I don't know what you guys are doing, but boy, does she look great. And he said,
oh, no.
That's my wife.
Hello.
Oh, no.
Oops, your mother.
That's my wife.
And your then, mother.
Then Adrian said,
oh, what an ass move that is.
Adrian said, he's had a very long weekend. You can under, he's had, we've had a little bit to drink. And I said, you know, and me, I was like, I thought it was your mother.
Oh, so you didn't let it go.
Yeah. No,
that's
I mean,
the drinky drink. You just, I thought it was your mother. She's so much older than you are.
No, no, no. I'm, looking at, you know, I'm looking at them from across the street. But
right.
He's, you know, when he walked away, she's like, it's a, you know, she says, she
say
said,
hi to Estelle Getty for
she,
me.
She said, it's a good thing you're a happy drunk. She
right.
said, it's a good thing that, that I'm sure he recognized the fact that you were just pleased to see him.
Right.
You know, it was
right.
it was an honest mistake.
Have you always thought that was his mother?
No, to be honest, I'm not even really sure what woman I was talking to him about.
Okay, all right.
And I was trying to explain that to Adrian later. It's like,
right.
The next day, when obviously I was in control of my faculties, she yeah. said, now, which one is the mother, which is the wife? I said, well, obviously that's the wife, and obviously that's the mother.
Mm.
And she said, well, how could you make that mistake? And I said, you were drinking the same stuff as me. I don't know. So now it's five.
I was talking to the duck.
After the guy, after this thing with the guy, uh-huh. it's time to, we decide the sun's going down. It's 5:30. Let's make our way back to the place.
Time to crawl back to your place.
We get back, and really, it's like Stagger City. I'm like on roller skates. That's what I feel
no,
like.
It's potent stuff. It's very, very powerful stuff.
All I know is I'm walking up towards, and oh, she's going to love me for this. I'm walking up towards the place, and I turn around to say to girlfriend, you know, where are you? And I notice that she's over in the corner by the dunes, where she's just having some dry heaves.
Talking to the fan.
So, of course, because, you know, I was on such a fantastic role,
mm-hmm.
I said with my very loud voice and loud as I was drunk, I was like, sweetie, are you throwing up?
Oh, no.
You know,
oh,
and
no.
I just see.
Don't leave your beach chair there.
She's over there just, she's just got her hands on her knees and she looks, she's like, she nods, you know.
So it hit her when she stood up.
Yeah. So I yelled at her, and then she's like 50 yards away, and she all I see is her with her hands on her knees. She shakes her head. No. And because I go, what? You're not throwing up, or you can't throw up? What is it? And she just keeps shaking her head no. And I'm just because I'm, I said, okay. I'll meet you back at the house.
No need to go over to assist at all.
Let's fast forward. 10:15 p.m. I wake up in bed in my bathing suit.
Nice.
I am so disoriented when I woke up. First, I was like, where am I? Oh, that's right. I'm at the beach.
Right.
And I'm looking at the clock, and it says 10:15, it's mm-hmm. dark outside. And there must have been a power failure. I know that I had a lot to drink on the beach, but it's got to be like 4 o'clock in the morning, right? So I go into the bathroom. I don't even think about Adrian being there. I go into the bathroom. I brush my teeth. I go downstairs. She's got the door open. She's watching, like, Law and Order or something. She's reading a book. And she says, oh, there you are. I say, what are you doing up at this hour? And she says, it's 10:15.
So as soon as you got to the house, you passed out?
That was it. I said, what happened? She said, I'll be polite and say you slept.
Uh-huh.
I guess you needed to sleep. You've been upstairs for over 4 hours. I was like, oh, well, this means I will be up all night. And she said, no, I bet you're not. I said, I'll tell you what, I'm starved. Mm. She said, okay, I got some food for you. I must have had two bites of food. Then I said, oh, God damn, I'm tired. Damn, I'm tired. She's like, okay.
So this is pass out, wake up 10:15, come down, have two bites of food, right back to bed?
Right back to bed. And then up the next morning at 7, feeling perky.
Yeah,
feeling
refreshed,
great.
ready to go.
Feeling great, but
I can't argue with that daytime drinking.
Had that period, that time when it was like from 5:30,
sure.
Whatever. When all I know is just leaving her going, okay, bye, you got the key? Okay, see you there. And she said that actually as drunk as I was, it's within walking distance,
right.
That actually there was kind of a method to my madness, that things were not just thrown here and there.
Right.
She said, you realize that, like, the beach bag that was, like, full of sand and stuff, she said, like, you put that in the pantry, like, with the food, and whatever the portable, the XM thing that's like a Walkman thing,
right.
She said, you realize that you tried to plug that into the phone charger thing. You said, I'm amazed you didn't break it. It's like they're just sitting there, and it's so obvious that the two things don't go together.
Right.
Anyway.
You didn't French kiss anybody on the beach, did you?
No, I did not.
All right.
Now, here's the thing. Call Buzz early yesterday morning.
Right.
About 7:30. Tell him what happened. Right. Said I had a great time with his friend, the Green Fairy Absinthe.
Right.
Said,
Did you finish the bottle?
No, there's some left.
Okay.
Brought it home from a man, the house sitter.
Mm-hmm. I requested it.
So, there's a shock.
Bring it to me. So I am Buzz. Bring it to me.
Call Buzz, and I say, hey, you know, we're going to be coming home. She's going to be, you know, following me back.
Mm-hmm.
And if you guys want to stay and go by the pool, I'm lucky enough to have a pool. You want to stay and hang by the pool, you're welcome. Buzz said, no, we got stuff to do. Okay.
Right.
Here's where we get into the Buzz part. Pull up to the house. Now, Adrian's behind me. We've gone, so the two cars, we pull up together in front of the house, and right away, I see, by where the garbage can normally is, I got it moved inside, there are four big, gigantic, hefty bags full of all kinds of lawn stuff.
Yard waste.
Yes, and right away, I mean, the dogs are going crazy, like, to have me let them out. She pulls up in her car, and I'm like, what? What did he do? What did he do? And she gets out of the car and she says,
was he being too thoughtful again?
Hold on. She said, what are you talking about? I said, look at this. Now, the first thing we noticed in the front of my house, and as I mentioned before, I'm not hairy homeowner. I do the best I can.
You do fine.
With the mulching and the weeding and everything. Mm-hmm. I got a big long-ass patch of concrete that runs from all the way from the garage all the way down to where the driveway goes. And I've spent a weekend, and Adrian has spent part of a weekend out there trying to pull every single goddamn weed. We've got half of it done.
It's a brick walk, so it's a tedious job.
Mm-hmm. We've gotten half of it done, and it's taken literally hours. That's the first thing I noticed. I said, oh, Jesus.
So this is where the weeds come up in between the brick?
Right. Yeah, and there's lots of... I said, oh, my God, look at this. They weeded all this. I said, they weeded all the rest of the stuff that we didn't do. She said, oh. And now at this point, I go inside to let the dogs out, and there's a note from Buzz. And I brought the note in.
Uh-huh.
Here are the glasses, because the font is very, very tiny.
It is. I didn't want to mess with your font.
Dear Don, consider your guest room violated. All is well, and we had a very nice weekend here. Sounds as if you did too. We had to go home and be with our kitties at our house for a bit.
Right.
We'd love to join you guys sometime for pool, blah, 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 absinthe.
Yeah.
Throws that in again.
Right, to mention.
Or maybe dinner. See if you can figure out the secret projects we did while you were away. Hint, outdoors. Enjoy the rest of your Memorial Day, Buzz and Marcia.
Okay.
So, go back outside, because now Adrian and I are walking all over the place trying to see what they've done besides this weeding, which is right out front. And we were in the backyard looking, and I really said to her, like a retard, because I am a retard, I said, you know what? We should be like CSIers. I said, we're trying to look at trees to see if anything's been done, and like mulching. We got to go where the evidence is. So we go out to where these four gigantic, oversized bags full of leavens are. And the first thing I say is, hold on, look at this. This is from a pine tree. I only have pine trees in the front yard.
Right. Right. Uh-huh.
What would he be doing by the pine trees? We go over by the pine trees. I got big pine trees that kind of, they're growing over knees. They're growing over like a big cement post that's in my front yard. And,
and starting to encroach on the driving parking area. Yeah.
this is where it's nice, but it's a bit presumptuous.
Oh, okay. Right.
No. What he did,
what in the name of God did he do?
I'm not sure of everything he did. He is a good friend, a lifelong friend.
Does this mean like his thoughtfulness backfired on him a little bit?
No.
Awesome.
Mike, apparently what he did not like the way that apparently the trees and some bushes around the basketball court and stuff, the basketball net. He didn't like the way that the shrubbery was looking, so he went home and got his tools and spent...
You did a little pruning?
Yeah. I mean, not a little pruning. Not a little. I mean, I'm serious. I'm walking around this... We're walking around. We're looking. We're going, oh, hold on. Is that one? Look right there. Look at that one. Do you see? And it'd be like, hold on. No, that's where a blue jay was. Or, I mean, like we'd say, no, that's where a bird was.
Right.
Because there would be bird droppings or something. And then you'd go, no, hold on, look at... That is shaved right there.
It's a fresh cut.
That's a fresh cut. We're walking around. Well, thank you.
You're welcome.
Second, why?
It was easy. I needed something to do, and it was fun. And I thought it might be helpful.
No.
I gave special consideration to things like shade, privacy. The only thing I trimmed, and a lot of what I trimmed, by the way, I noticed that it had been cut there in previous years. So I was actually trimming it back to where it had been, say, the year before or the year before that. So
see,
new growth, basically.
I'm not in any way upset or mad, so please...
I appreciate it.
Don't think that that's where I'm coming from.
No, I can't
imagine why you're not. But, Jesus.
But I like the way it looked. I thought it looked just fine.
It did look.
So you don't think his yard looks good?
No, I think I thought it looked great.
But his yard looks like crap.
But I thought there had been some growth. I needed something to do outside. I had some time to kill.
There's 600 million gallons of water in a gigantic cement pond in my backyard.
I spent a lot of time there. And by the way, I emptied your leaf traps.
Hey, Buzz.
Yeah.
I'll be out of town next weekend.
Uh-huh.
I was wondering if you and Marcia could come over. Well,
what do you need?
So understand.
Everything.
Understand.
Bring some paintbrushes.
All right.
I'm very cool with this. He's a very nice guy. But on the other hand, mm-hmm. I stood there with Adrian. She said, you know, that is so thoughtful. She said,
It is thoughtful.
That is so sweet. I said, yes, it's sweet and yes, it's thoughtful. I said, but like, on the other hand, and here you say it, mm-hmm. it's perfect. Buzz didn't like the way something looked. To Buzz's eye, it looked like something that, well, no, you said...
He fashioned a part of your yard in the way that he would have wanted it to look himself, right. Which is a gross invasion of privacy. Yeah. I agree with you finally. That's probably what he was doing.
Some people get the munchies.
Some people get the munchies. Some people get that energy thing that they're doing. Yeah, he was probably high. That's why he did it.
All I know is that the two of you must have worked your asses off.
No, first off,
to do that weeding out there, I'm not... Now, what do you do? You and Marcia work like kids in the Kathy Lee Gifford sweat factory? I mean...
No. It was just
sweat shops?
Just the two of us and one pair of pruning shears. And
how many hours would you figure?
Oh, it did the entire thing from start to cleanup in under 2 hours, I'm sure.
Wow.
Maybe less than that.
Impossible.
Did you spray, after you took the weeds up, did you spray some Roundup?
No, I thought with doggies around, maybe that wouldn't be a good idea, and I wouldn't presume to do that anyway.
Justin, incredible. You know, I've always known you're an expert on trim. It was incredibly thoughtful.
Buzz became paranoid that the white pines were about to attack.
They were encroaching.
It was weird. And
did you do anything inside?
What'd you do out back?
You know that walk from like well actually from the sliding glass door to the kitchen, the long way around to the pool.
Yeah.
Trimmed all the bushes along there because they were starting.
You know that right, Tom? Okay. Because it's yours.
They were.
Why'd you do that?
Because they were overtaking the sidewalk to the point that you could barely go single file down the sidewalk, and now you could go two abreast.
Now there you go. Now so what he's doing is he's calling you a sloppy yard owner.
No.
It's the way that
I could tell it'd been done before. I thought it'd be a nice thing to do.
And obviously, you haven't been down to the basement yet.
because he has built you a clubhouse entirely out of chocolate.
I hope you liked it.
Well, I do thank you, Buzz.
You're welcome. I didn't mean to be presumptuous, but I don't think I cut anything that hadn't been cut before.
No, I was kidding. Actually, I was just quoting my good friend Rob. He's the one who said to me it sounded rather presumptuous.
Yeah. Well, Rob, how many times has Rob had said this?
Now, if I take out Bush's...
Well, what does Rob do for you? You leave a bunch of green bottles in your garage?
Yeah, but nicely arranged.
Yes. Very neatly arranged.
But thank you for the...
boy, those TVs are warm when he comes home. You keep those TVs warm. I want next. I want a house sit next.
Thank you very much, Buzz.
Certainly.
And again, you know, I'm not at all steamed.
Good.
Just, you know, it was just one of those things.
A lot of that will grow back.
I said,
Well, no, no.
I can sum up, this is a friend and a coworker and a lifelong associate in the nicest possible way telling you that you keep a bad house.
No, not saying that in any way at all.
Yeah, that's it. That's exactly it.
Seeing the mantle that you had carried, the work that you'd already done, the rest of it.
And keeping in mind that because I know it was you, you know, one of the first things I was going to ask you on today's show was, being as I am a widower living by myself for the last year, how would you rate the overall cleanliness of the abode, the organization?
Amazing.
But still.
Clean. Neat.
Still, you found outside... to be not acceptable.
I was determined to help keep it the way you have made it.
Did you do the one thing I left you the note about with the remote control?
No, I didn't do that project. Because it has to be turned on manually, you're right. That's not going to work.
That's the one thing you can help me with.
Yeah, I know. Well, you need
I didn't need you cutting down trees.
No,
you help me with that remote control.
I understand.
But, thank you, Buzz. I'm looking at a gift horse and the mouse. Thank
in
you.
In July, when he house sits in July, he's going to build a guest house on the grounds.
Lovely.
You're going to love it.
Yep.
You're funny.
Made entirely out of used tires.
You're funny. You're very nice. So
he's got his Weaver.
I thank you, and I thank your wife. And
you're welcome.
May I say, the next time you're out of town for a weekend, and if you want somebody who would not even think about invading privacy.
I don't know you, Mike.
Count on it.
You got it. All right, again, Buzz, thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Plenty of food.
Thank you.
Food.
And, boy, you're clean, too.
Yeah.
I mean, you're clean.
We took the garbage with us.
Jack, you're clean. I know.
You took your own garbage.
Hold on. You realize this now.
You took your own garbage?
Yeah. You realize that because they were coming over, I cleaned, and in the trash compactor, I put a new bag in on Friday.
Uh-huh.
Here's the trash that was put in the bag on Friday. Mm-hmm. Maybe two equal wrappers.
Right.
And maybe some junk mail.
We had a lot of to-go food and stuff like that, so we filled it up.
When I came back, I said, hold on, where's the trash? Adrian said, I bet they took the trash out, too.
I don't want to offend, but all this energy, this insane amount of energy, could really be directed at, like, an adopted child from China.
Could be.
Thank you, Rob.
But more.
Or Joe.
Or Joe.
Okay. All right.
Joe's house sat for you, hasn't he, before?
Yeah. He does.
And then how did he leave the place?
Fine.
Fine.
Left his barbecue sauce everywhere. But thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
If the shoe was on the other foot, I can't say I would have done Jack to help you out.
I understand. That doesn't
matter. Thank you very much, and I'm terribly sorry that...
Nice going, Buzz. Way to make him feel bad.
Terribly sorry you don't like the way my house looks.
I love the way your house looks.
Terribly sorry you just took matters.
Is the outside hand. A show place now?
You know what it is? My grand Rhett Edward Scissorhands. That's exactly what he did.
I know how you like bunnies.
Except they're all phallic.
Is it true that he sculpted the boxwoods in the shapes of all of your dogs?
No, I told you, they're all genitals.
Oh, okay. All right, very good. Well, that's very modern.
Predominantly male genitals.
I'll make it something else if you want.
No, that's okay. Thank you. When we come back, something totally different that's not nearly as creepy. It's Mike had a wonderful weekend with his daughters.
I had a fabulous weekend with my daughters, and there were only two. I wouldn't even call one of them an incident, but then there was one major incident. I, too, will work backwards.
Okay.
Because this was the start of my holiday.
Okay, we'll do that. We'll come right back. And you, Burley, or who's the guy? Bounty? The guy in the...
Ronnie.
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 Paper Town.
Watch yourself.
All right.
Just watch yourself.
It's just confirmation for me.
What?
He's got a meth lab in his house. he was flying high on speed. That's why I did what he did.
And even, so quickly.
He sounded like Jackie Stallone.
Even
that's why I did it.
Even the coffee,
safe for crying out loud.
Even the coffee machine was replaced and was full of water and full of coffee beans.
Good.
Why don't you resurface the driveway, Burbank? Why don't you reshingle the roof while you're at it?
My motto, same as the campfire girls, always leave the campsite neater than you found it.
You know, I'd like to do some work in my house would be Tony Diggs. How do you feel about that, Tony?
But BB doesn't stand for Buzz Burbank.
Catherine to Boston for their very first trip to the shrine, wow. Into the shrine of Fenway Park. It was their first trip. It's one of my greatest childhood memories, and I documented it with as many photographs as I could possibly take because this was just so special for me. The thought that I had in my mind, and I don't know because I'm not in the minds of a 10-year-old and an 8-year-old. I don't know whether they're going to remember this someday, you know, say, hey, I remember that first trip because they're not boys, and who knows whether they'll maintain an interest in baseball. Right now they know they're Red Sox fans. They kind of get into it. Elizabeth is 8 years old, and she was, you know, she was, I think, probably halfway through the game when she said, is the game almost over? So she doesn't, you know, track with the baseball. Catherine, I think, was more into it, the older daughter. She was more into the entire experience. But I really was an idiot photographer because I stopped and took their pictures outside. We got up there really early in the morning.
I thought that's why you were bringing Carla with you.
What's that?
I thought that Carla was going to be the official photographer.
Oh, well, she was, too. I mean, we went back and forth. I mean, there were pictures of me with the girls. There were pictures with Carla with the girls. But mostly it was just pictures of the girls. And the best shot I got the most amazing shot of them. They both, I got them both little Red Sox jerseys. You know, Catherine wanted the one with, Catherine appreciating the quality, wanted the little kids version of the authentic one for Jason Varitek with the 33 on it. And Elizabeth had a little silkscreen one that had David Ortiz. And it was a picture of them both going right in the tunnel
who's the first player?
Jason Varitek. He's the catcher. He's the catcher and the captain.
And the other guy was?
David Ortiz. What is that? What does that mean?
Nothing.
What are you referring to? Are you pandering to your friend? Is that what you're doing with the difference between Jason Varitek and David Ortiz? Is that what it is?
I just think that never mind.
I want to know what you mean by the
Never mind.
You stopped my story cold, and I want to know what it means.
Well, I don't know the background of these players. I don't know.
And I made that. Did you hear me make that sound as I went to the water?
I know you did.
I went for a pull on the water
I saw that, but thank you for recognizing that.
But it was so neat. The only thing that put a damper on it was, and of course this was done also
under... Can you find me a picture of the Varitek thing? I'm pretty sure I know what the other one looks like.
Yes.
From the name.
Yeah.
Find me a picture of the guy.
I'm not sure where you're going with this. Where you're going with Jason Varitek.
I just would like to see a picture of all of the Red Sox, the current lineup.
Yes.
And decide perhaps who would be the best choice for your daughters.
Stop it. All right, there you go.
For your
no problem. You go ahead and knock yourself out with that.
If you're going to give them the role model, have a favorite player.
Isn't really bringing up a picture now?
Bill Varitek.
Shut up. All right, here's the deal. So we get to the seats. I spent a lot of money to get the best seats I could get, to get as close to the field as possible because I go once a year. Sometimes if I'm lucky, I'll go twice a year, but I go once a year. So I put a lot into this. And the only thing that put a damper on the afternoon game was these two asshats that came down and sat right to the left of us. And they, look. I am just going to say...
Okay, now find Ortiz.
All right, you're going to find a picture of David Ortiz.
Can I get rid of that picture?
Okay. Yeah, okay. Anyway, I'm sorry, Mike.
No, I'm going to wait.
No, please.
No, I'm going to wait.
Please do not allow me to slow you down, please.
This is a lovely, lovely story of my daughter's first trip to Fenway, and you're making it horrible.
No,
you're making
it
something terrible.
I am...
You're soiling it. You're soiling this story that I want to tell right now. What are you doing?
I'm just trying to find a picture of... Of Ortiz.
Don't need a picture of him. You know what he looks like.
Okay.
He's one of the greatest clutch hitters in the history of the game.
Okay.
All right. I knew it. You knew what? What are you doing?
I'm not doing anything.
You knew what? Do you want to share it with the rest of the class?
Oh, okay.
You want to bring your daughters up the Boston way. You want them to be lifelong.
I knew that's what it was going to be. You know, now you're going to say,
what message
we should have gotten
sending?
Them 233s. Is that what you were saying? Is that what you were saying? Yes.
Yeah.
In the Boston tradition, yes.
Yeah.
The bigoted Boston dream. All right, it's a long way to go for that joke. That's fine.
No,
I accept that.
You want to buy your girls a jersey for Ortiz? That's okay.
I bought the jersey for whoever they want.
Here's all right. But
and if it, wait.
Could you say to them, honey, listen, here's how we do it in Boston. Isn't there another player you like who's white?
If I was buying a jersey, if it was for me with the name on it, I would have bought the Ortiz jersey. Greatest clutch hitter in the history of the Red Sox, in my humble opinion.
You're not what about the thousands of good white players that have come before him?
You just won't let it go.
No, I won't. No. And I know you're not. I'm just...
But there were these two jerks.
I'm just goofing.
They came down, and when one of them... All right.
Rob, stop it.
One of them... What is Rob doing? What, God damn it, what, Rob? What? What is it?
Give me the thumbs up.
Well, there he is.
Sorry.
Jesus.
Stand
up. My moment in Fenway Park, and you're soiling it.
I guess of the 25-man current roster.
Yes.
There's 13 Caucasians.
Rob has counted.
Well, somebody did.
Every team.
Rob,
somebody
I think you
did.
Need to get a condo in South Boston.
No, it wasn't him. Somebody.
You have to get a condo in Southie. I think you'd fit right in. It would be fine. But these guys, now I'm totally discombobulated. I'm trying to tell you about my daughters going to Fenway Park. It was a beautiful moment, and here you are making it ugly about the history, which is not a good history of the Boston Red Sox.
And that's all I'm
no
trying
one
to
is
point
more, out. Now, have we established that? Okay. It doesn't have the sterling, stunning reputation that some of the other teams in baseball do.
Yeah.
Their baseball had its issues.
A tradition that lives today.
No, not with the Red Sox, of course.
Well, no, not with the Red Sox.
What? Is that what you were with? What the F are you talking about? Are you talking about the black? Is Tom Yawkey still owning the team? Is that what this is about?
I don't even know who Tom Yawkey is.
He was the owner when all that was going on. He was
like
a southern gentleman.
I just like effing with you.
It was
about
a special moment for me to have my daughters in Fenway Park. I enjoyed it.
This is where some of the greatest racism in American sports has happened. The city of Boston.
And many other cities in baseball, too. Many other cities.
I'm not just talking just baseball, either. I'm talking about the entire...
Right.
Mike, that's...
Boston. Bill Russell was played for the Celtics, was actually one of the first African-Americans that was, I think that they had a very good track record with Red Auerbach in the Boston Celtics.
I'm aware.
Quite the opposite with the Celtics. They have they can actually hang their hat on a number of things that were very good in that area. If we're talking from a historic standpoint.
Black players who were good. We're treated with the proper respect.
Mm-hmm.
Robert Parrish. I mean, I know.
Robert Parrish was way down the line. I'm talking earlier on.
Well, I'm totally wrong and you're right that Boston, of course, was one of our most racially diverse cities, and there was never a trace of anything, even with all those great Celtics teams.
Jesus Christ.
You could say the same thing about Green Bay.
I'm a Red Sox fan.
It's a hot button with you. That's why I like pushing it.
I'm a Red Sox fan.
I know, but...
I took my daughters, F you and your buddy, too. I took my daughters up to Fenway Park. And all of a sudden, this is where we're going with this.
No, only because...
Paying you boys back. I'm saving this. I'm filing this.
Only because it bothers you.
Because of the great, great tradition of the Green Bay Packers that was so incredibly racially diverse.
Throw it, yeah.
Yes. Are we done? We did that the last time.
I know, but you didn't get as mad the last time as you are this time.
Well, I'm mad now because you're just going on with it. You're going on and on and on and on with that. And it's like, what do you want me to say? What do you want? Seriously, what do you want me to say to the team when I was a little kid that I rooted for, okay? And I wasn't raised like he was raised, Seriously.
No one was.
If you want to talk turkey, Oh, wow. Whoa.
Okay.
Boy, I've gone over the line now. Haven't I, baby? All right.
Sorry.
My
fault.
I have no idea where I was with this. I have lost my train of thought in totality.
Ortiz.
The two assets.
Pick it up at Ortiz.
He's doing deep breathing.
Take your pulse. That's why you have Hispanic attacks.
Deep breaths.
Yeah, I think David Ortiz. I'm having one right now. No, I bought him a couple of jerseys as we were walking into the park. And we sit down, and the best thing, when you bring a kid to a baseball game, the best thing that could possibly happen... My daughter got a foul ball. She actually got a foul ball that was handed
Fantastic.
To her by one of the ball girls.
No, what?
You're patronizing me now. You are. You're just looking at me like, you know what?
No, I'm not.
I mean, yeah, hey. I got my eye on the clock, too, so I got to watch out.
No, you get extra time.
Do I get extra time now?
Yes, I won't. Listen, Mike has slowly started to, like, want to find out what's going on with the show. So I've, like, explained to Mike, if we run long, some breaks have to be.
That's not true.
No.
That's not true. I didn't come to you and say that, and I'm not going to allow you to spin it that way, either. What happened was there was one time when I ran a little longer.
You're reading up your own time.
And you said, hey, you know, you're trying to manage the clock. You're trying to manage the clock.
I said to Mike Getaway, we only have this amount of time.
And I don't resent, you know, you doing that because that's perfectly acceptable.
But because I ate up some of your time here, because I like poking the bear, you will have plenty more time.
Well, I think, that, you know, I demand two segments.
You will get two segments.
I'm kidding. I am kidding.
No, you're going to get two segments because, really, I mean, say,
because right now, with the discussion we had off the air, what you told me, I'm there. I'm there right now.
You're where?
I'm at that 15-minute mark that you had said before.
You're fine.
And that's what I was looking at.
Okay, well, actually what I did was, once we restarted,
yes.
I gave you an extra five. I figured that I dicked with you for 5 minutes. So really, go ahead.
So I've got to 4:57 then.
I mean, if we want to stick to this, but now you're pulling the.
I'm pulling the curtain back.
This is why I can't tell you this.
Oh, now you can't tell me. You know what we're going to call this segment? You know, piss me off. That's what you're going to call this segment. This is it. You know,
I am not trying to piss you off.
My delightful, sweet moment with my daughter.
Okay, all right.
Soiled,
Mike.
Like
Mike
could not have
Mike.
Possibly
Mike.
Been soiled.
Mike.
Yes. Yes.
Here you go. My microphone?
Here.
I swear to Christ.
Oh, now you're not going to interact with me.
No.
So now you're going to shut your microphone off now?
What
I'm trying to do is be one step ahead of you now, because it's the only way I'm going to survive this segment.
No.
Is by being cat-like.
Do you want to talk?
Cat-like reflexes.
Or my microphone will stay on.
I'm not making that sound. I didn't make that sound that you don't like. I'm not making that sound.
That sound there. Right.
Why are you bringing that up?
I don't know, because that's just because I'm on a roll right here, right now, bringing stuff up, stuff. What do you want me to do?
You like it.
You tell me what.
You
what
like,
the conflict?
You like having your balls busted.
I love it. I enjoy it. If I didn't enjoy it, I wouldn't do it.
All right, then. Seriously, before we, because in the next segment we should talk about the asses that you encountered. Really, and nobody.
Well, that's actually not the biggest thing that happened to me. I was the ass. That's my
Let's
biggest
that.
Story of the. Of the
I
weekend.
Mean, really, I won't kid you about like white players. And
I
everything
don't.
Else.
I'm not demanding a second segment.
No,
really
you need
not.
A second segment though, because from what you told me at the airport.
No, we
you
sat
made a big
down.
Stink.
Look, we sat down next to these guys.
Well, hold on. Finish the thing about your daughters. I mean,
the daughters
I really don't want to
well,
screw that up.
That's all
you.
It was. They were walking in. It was cool, and they had their jerseys on, and it was. I got great pictures of them, and then the next thing that was really cool early on in the game, Elizabeth gets handed a foul ball by one of the ball girls, and it was just great. It was really
Perfect.
Fantastic. And the only thing that put a damper on it were these two guys, one of them wearing a Yankee hat, the other guy who looked like he was a Yankee fan too, because what they were doing is they were shouting out Yankees names, and they weren't hassling the Red Sox or the Red Sox fans. What they were doing was just
now,
being
just
sure.
Indulge me for a second. The Red Sox were not playing the Yankees.
They're playing Tampa Bay.
So why would these guys, were they just yelling?
They were
like,
going, they were like Derek Jeter? Derek Jeter, Gary Sheffield. And they're yelling.
Why?
Because they're Yankee fans and they're asses.
Why?
And they were in Fenway Park in these great seats. And, you know, that's cool because they can say whatever they want.
But the Red Sox weren't even playing.
Right. So they were sitting down there and these guys were unbelievable. But they never took it to the step where anybody around them, myself included, could have gotten really, really mad, because there were loads of little kids. It was a Sunday game. It was 2:00. This was Kids Central. There were kids everywhere at the ballpark, and the only time that, you know, that I'm going to get really ticked off is if they start, you know, yelling the F-bomb and they start doing stuff like that. What they did do, however, which blew me away. These guys were asses. Everybody sitting in back of us thought they were jerks, but they weren't the kind of jerks where they were, you know, confronting other fans, and they weren't really being, you know, the language wasn't bad or anything like that. They weren't doing any of that. What they were doing, which I have never seen, of course, I've never had seats this good. I've never been right on top of the field. These two guys we're sitting there, and we were so close to the Tampa players. We weren't on the Boston side. We were on the Tampa side. They were so close to the Tampa players that literally you could, at the voice that I'm using right now, at this tone, you could be heard by them. And they were saying unbelievable stuff to
like
these
what?
Guys.
Like
there's
what?
This one guy for Tampa Bay called Wigginton. That's the guy. Wigginton is the guy. Apparently, I think he had some stint with the Mets. I don't know. I don't know where the guy comes from. But he would walk by, and they did this to two or three players. And he says, "Hey, Wigginton, you suck." Right to where every time he would say that, the guy would stop, and the guy is as close to him as I am.
Courage, isn't it?
And you know, but here's the weird, or some other kind of courage. I don't know what they were on.
Or do you think it's that whole dumb, you know, hey, I bought my ticket, I can say whatever I want?
No, they weren't bright enough to do that. These guys look good, but they were kind of decked out in the, you know, had a lot of jewelry on. They looked a little bit, but they didn't even look like they were thuggy kind of guys. They were sitting there, but it's like, hey, you sucked when you were with the Mets. You suck right now. How's it like playing on the last place team? Right to him. And finally, my youngest daughter, Elizabeth, says to me, you know, Daddy, do they really hate those guys? And it's at that point that during the next break in the action, I walked up to one of the ushers, and in a very nice way, I said, hey, you know, so far these guys are cool, but they're really getting into it with the Tampa players. And if they start, you know, using, like, language around my kids, you know, it's going to probably get out of control. Not 5 seconds later. One of the guys comes over that's on the field security, and he has a little chat with the guys. And as much as these guys were a-holes, if it had been me at a game and I wasn't with my kids, I would have loved to just get into it with these guys because they were those kind of guys. But after they were spoken to, and this guy, Wigginton, as he walked out to the on-deck
now
circle.
Wigginton.
Wigginton's the guy on Tampa that they've gotten into it with, right?
He's got to be white, right?
He's... if you're keeping score, yes. If you're keeping score at home.
Name just sounds white.
And as soon as he walked by, after they had had their talking to, they both stood up and gave him a standing ovation. And it was one of these mock things. And it was just, they settled down after that, but they were just kind of, you know, and at one point I said to my daughters, I said, kids, this is, just so you know, this is the way Yankee fans behave at baseball games. So at least we got a valuable lesson out of that. It was very, very good.
Good thing they number one test those guys, because if those guys had failed one of those urine tests and they'd been on the juice, who knows what they could have done to those poor, wonderful Yankees.
There were two or three of the guys, Johnny Gomes, who's a good player for Tampa, and a guy, Johnny Gomes is a guy for Tampa.
With an S or a Z?
S.
Hmm. I'm guessing white.
Yes, thank you. Thank you for keeping score at home. Johnny Gomes at one point looked back at them, and I thought for one fleeting moment that it was going to be one of those Ron Artest situations where they would actually come up to the guy and get into it nose to nose.
Black.
And these guys. Yes.
Ron Artest.
Yes, of course, yes. So it's funny how we've had this discussion. It's you know.
Boston.
Right.
Dirty Water, Boston, you're my home.
Dirty Water.
It's a famous song.
It is a famous song.
Dirty Water.
That's right.
Boom, boom. Mm-hmm. So they sing that at your...
And they also sing Matt Farber's favorite song.
What's that?
Neil Diamond. They play that, you know?
What's that?
So good. So good. Sweet Caroline is one that they play between the eighth and ninth inning. They've always done that.
They play that at Fenway Park?
Sure, that's it. That's a big tradition. They've done
He's
that
a fag.
20 years. 20 years. Yeah, we're all fags, too. It's all fags. It's Boston.
Uh-huh.
We're all fags.
No, that's not true.
Yeah.
You know that's not true.
Racist. We're all racist fags. You know that's what we are.
It's
Boston, racial fags.
The fags get their ass beat in Boston.
Right.
You know that.
Yeah. Oh, yes, of course. It's a homophobic town, too.
Yes,
it's just horrible. Yes.
I watch Boston.
A town that I love so well. It's just so.
I watch Boston
attack
Legal, Mike.
Call it that. You know.
I eat at Boston Market.
You know,
okay.
Yeah, at Boston Market. Eat illegal seafoods too occasionally. You know, it's a Boston restaurant right there. Yeah. Yeah, so it was a wonderful time with my children.
Good. I'm glad we're all glad you had a good time. Seriously, that you had a great time with your kids.
It was great.
And your mom, you didn't even mention you saw your dear sweet mom.
Dear sweet mama, going strong, 86 years young,
wow.
And she is doing great. The whole weekend was fantastic, except for when I checked in at Dulles Airport and got caught.
Ooh.
Got caught like I've never gotten caught in my life. Guilty as charged. I was with a bunch of people. I was trying to check everybody in.
Uh-huh.
I thought I was going to miss my flight. I really did. Yeah. What? Time? Oh, clock on the wall. Yeah, very I've overstayed over. My welcome.
A little bit.
Yeah.
We'll make it up later. We'll take it out of Buzz's news.
Okay. That's fine.
So when we come back, you'll have another full segment to talk about the a-holes at the airport.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe you can find a way to, you know, work race and homophobia into that, too.
Only when it's Boston.
You know, it's only when it's Boston. Oh, that's right. That's right. Because we never have that on this show otherwise. That's true. This is true. That's right. Boston.
You're funny.
I am funny.
You are funny.
Yeah, yeah. Do I make you laugh? Do I make you?
Yes, you do.
Do I make you laugh, huh?
Have you taken your pill yet?
What pill?
Your chill pill?
No.
You probably shouldn't take it during the show.
What do you mean I shouldn't take it during the show?
Didn't you get loopy towards the end of the show on Friday?
If I take any medication during the show, yeah. I will be sure to let you know right away. I will. Right now, I'm not having any panic attack either.
Good.
I'm having a kick-ass attack right now.
Well, then why don't you take a pill?
I don't have a pill for that.
What, you want to kick my ass?
Yours and your buddies right now. I want to jump over the console and kick both of your smirking asses. That's why. And there's no pill for that. Not that I was given. It's a totally different disorder. It's anger disorder. It's not anxiety. It's anger disorder, you know? Putting down Bean Town, man. I can't do anything about that. I don't know how to handle that. That's an anger thing.
That's a start.
That's a pound my fist on the table.
That's a good start.
This actually might be kicking out the whole Hispanic attack that I'm having. It actually might work. Thank you. Thank you, John.
What is that?
John just brought me a bottle of Jameson's.
Yeah, a little early for that.
Yeah. It's happy hour somewhere, Don.
All right, what's the bill?
Tell me, please.
No problem at all.
It was just 48 hours ago that I was looking at Jeff saying, your mother looks great.
What? He's mad.
Oh. Okay, Rob.
I'm mad. I am mad enough. And yet still very self-conscious, but I'm going to write a book. And I'm going to talk.
Michael O'Mara. Michael O'Mara on Boston.
To believe. And I tried my damnedest to believe in the rainbow that I tried to get over.
No rainbow
and
here.
I couldn't. So what?
That's what I should say about every show. So what?
Exactly.
So what? All right, well, when we come back.
Don't try to tell a touching story about your children, Buzz. Don't try to do it.
I'll remember that.
Because it's so what? You know what that turns into?
What?
A horrible misrepresentation of a great American city.
And
that's what happens.
We wouldn't want that.
Absolutely. Not a chance.
Okay.
It's horrible. It's horrible right now. They're burning buildings right now as we speak in Boston.
I promise I've let it go.
You've let it go?
I promise you I've let it go.
It'll take me a good month to let this go. Yeah. Time, I'm sorry. Yes, the Don and Mike to break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, the muffler plant's gone too.
Yep.
Sounds good. Melt the chocolate inside the deck. That really ups the resale value.
I think you're going to be okay here.
They have a thin candy shell. Surprised you didn't know that.
I think your brain has a thick candy shell.
Your brain has the shell on it.
Are you talking?
Shut up, Richard.
The Don and Mike Show.
Come and lick the dot of Don Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
And welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Don and Mike returning soon, so just cross your legs and hold on to it. And I promised you an announcement. It's the same announcement I've done every day this week. WJFK is giving away a trip for two to Tokyo, Japan for the world premiere of Spider-Man 3. Go to WJFK.com now. Click the Spider-Man 3 logo and get the web word of the day. Listen for your cue to call. 10th caller with the web word qualifies for the trip. We will draw the winner on Friday, yo. All right, let's get back into the best of Don and Mike. It's more Mike. Apparently, Mike makes an a-hole move at Dulles. This is the best of Don and Mike.
Mike,
yes.
tell us about your a-hole experience at the airport.
Very quick. I get to Dulles Airport. We're going to take the whole family. I've got my kids and Carla, and we've done what a lot of people do nowadays, do the e-ticket thing.
Right.
And what they have in airports, as anybody that flies knows this, they have these automatic e-ticket things, and
yeah.
if you have your e-ticket and you've got a carry-on bag, you're not going to have to go through the tedious process of going up to the counter.
Right. You just put your credit card through, it knows who you are right away, and you get your ticket like in 30 seconds.
Beautiful. Walk into the airport. I don't know where these people had come from. It was pandemonium. There it's four lines going to security, going all the way out almost to the doors of Dulles Airport, and you know what I'm talking about.
Very
there.
Very crowded.
And a lot of these people are at the United Ticket Counter. They're all at United Ticket Counter. It's so much, there are so many lines going in so many directions, I don't know what the hell's going on.
Now, don't they have a bunch of kiosks set aside from the area where you actually go up and talk to a ticket agent?
Yeah, they've got four. I think that I counted four kiosks that are there to the right, at least
front,
where we were checking in.
The little ATM things, right.
Yeah, and of course you can also do it out, with the SkyCap out front if you're checking bags, then they can, give you everything you need.
Right.
But we're in there and we zip in, and at this point, I've given myself about an hour and 15 minutes, which I thought would be plenty of time, and it really is appearing that this might not be enough time. And I've got is the printout, and I'm such an idiot. I've got the printout of the e-ticket, and I said, well, let's see if this works. Let's get in the security line. Then Carl and I have this discussion as we're in this line that this isn't going to work. They're not going to accept the little piece of paper that I printed on my computer. That's not a boarding pass.
Right. No.
They're not going to let you through security.
Of course.
So at this point, with the kids in tow, I actually say, well, we got to get out of this line. So we get out of this line. We actually lift those little ropes up and we zip through to get back in line. I said, listen, guys, wait here. We'll get in the security line. I think we'll be okay if I can just get these tickets printed out. I just got to figure out where I'm going to stand in line. So I walk over by where these kiosks are, and I walk by the four kiosks that are being used for just e-tickets, and I say to this guy that's in line, I say, is this a line? And I point him back out. I said, is this a line for the e-ticket thing? He said, yeah, it goes over. The line queue goes over here.
Ooh.
So at this point, I pull the a-hole move, and I am guilty. I am as guilty as anybody else. I say, okay, well, I'm going to go get in the line. Now, I didn't premeditate this. This just happened. I walk away from the guy, and as I'm walking away, I'm going to have to go around to a line that it looks to me about maybe 30 people. On the kind of line that if you're in the end of it, you're going to be pissed off if you've been waiting.
Because a lot of people, especially if you're pressed for time, and I know you felt this too, when they stand in front of that thing, it's like trying to stand behind an old person at an ATM.
You're going nuts.
Where they just tell you, they're like, how does it know it's me? Mm-hmm.
And you're staring at the line. You're staring at it to make sure somebody did it. As I walk by, somebody actually leaves the kiosk. And that's when I pull the a-hole move. I'm like, maybe,
cut
like a moron, I say to myself, maybe somebody won't notice in the confusion, in the pandemonium.
That you've just walked up and you cut in.
And as I'm walking there with my handheld luggage, I duck in and put my credit card. I got my credit card in my hand, and I put it in the thing. Immediately, the guy that I had talked to comes over, and he goes, hey. And he grabs my arm. He grabs my arm like he's going to pull me in. And at this point, I'm like, hey, please don't touch me. And at this point, I'm like, well, since you grabbed me, I'm going to see if I can finish my transaction. Well, this guy's having none of it. He's, maitre d'. This guy starts screaming at the top of his lungs. He's going, excuse me, this guy right over here. He's cut in line.
Oh, no.
He's cut in line. This guy right here.
And you did, though, right?
Yes. Yeah. I'm guilty. And now I've got 30 people or 15, whatever it is, in this line. And it turned out to be about 15 people that were in this line because the guy is staring right at me. And he's staring at me and he's saying, he cut in line. Attendant? Attendant!
Oh, God.
And the attendant comes over immediately, and I've got the thing, and I'm right about to say English or Spanish in my little computer screen, and the guy, but I know I'm guilty. And the only reason I haven't pulled. The only reason that I.
What Mike always does is he gets mad in the situation.
I exposed myself. And normally it works for me, but it didn't work. The only reason I haven't pulled my credit card out is because this guy is being such a stain about it, and he's right. I'm not going to begrudge him being right, but you can be right and not be, if, you know, who knows how it would have played out. I'm reacting at this point. I'm trying to figure this whole situation out.
You might have been exactly like that guy.
I would have been worse.
I know I might have been worse. I know I would have been a king jerk.
I would have been worse. I probably would have been worse. But because he grabbed me and he pulled me, he was physically pulling me, and I saw the credit card. I said, okay, well then, you know what? I'm going to see if I can get away with it now since you pulled my arm. And he calls the guy over, and the attendant comes over and says, I'm sorry, sir, there is no line cutting, in a, like a super loud voice. And that's when the Price is Right sound came on, because I have to take my card out. And then I walk around to the end of the line, and I'm getting the look.
Hairy eyeball?
I'm getting the hairy eye. And I'm guilty. And it's one of those no-win situations where I'm completely guilty of what
look
I did.
Look at him.
Too
good to wait with the rest of us.
I was sitting there. And I thought for one second, of giving the guy some kind of parting shot and saying something to him. And I'm like, no, I have no leg to stand on. He wasn't saying anything. He had won game, set, and match. Everybody else there. I was freaking out because I didn't think that I was going to get it.
Now what?
The maddest person was that 200-pound toddler that was in line,
of course,
waiting to get to the concession stand.
Maybe Rob.
I was really.
No, Robbie's B-Wack.
So did you did you apologize to the guy or not to him?
No.
What about to the people that you had?
Now the people at that point, the people in the line. I wasn't making any eye contact. I was kind of looking down and hustling away and making my way back around this incredible line. And then, finally I was able to get the e-tickets. And there were three people out of the four that were at the kiosk when I finally got to the end of this line that were from another country, and they were having trouble figuring it out. And out of the four kiosks that were being used, the three people required assistance every single one of them. And I'm thinking at this point, if I don't get through the security checkpoint in 20 minutes or less, I'm not making my plane.
It is like going to DMV, watching people taking the driving test.
Right.
I swear to Christ, it is.
It was the worst situation. It was one of the worst, and it was bad because of me. I accept complete responsibility. It was my fault.
Next time, go to the Sky Cab outside.
Right.
And say to him, I've got no bags to check. Because they charge you $2 for using the SkyCab service.
Right.
They can check you in and print out your ticket and everything outside. You slip the guy a five.
I should have done that.
You go right in.
I should have done that. It was just, you know, it was so crowded.
I only know through dumb luck because I fly to Minneapolis so much to see my daughter that now I'm like a regular at a Dulles airport.
They had these lines and people with bags and people with carry-on, and nobody knew where the right check-in line was.
A guy like you would be the type of guy that a guy like me would probably have done the same. Now, I wouldn't have physically touched anybody,
right?
And I don't think I would have called anybody, but you can bet your ass that I would have said as loud as I can, just with that, hey, this guy's cutting in line. I could see me doing that.
He was right.
I swear to God.
He was completely right. And the reason I was doing it, I wasn't doing it, blatantly to walk in front of the guy thinking that he wouldn't, that he saw me,
and I applaud
and he was
going to
let me do it. I was doing it.
Thought you could sneak in.
I was thinking nobody did see me. And if nobody saw me, I said, well, I can knock this out and get this done. But he saw me, and then when he grabbed my arm. See, because there were two mistakes. Doing it in the first place, and the second
after he grabbed my arm. No, it's only one mistake. Getting caught.
Getting caught.
The only mistake. I think different circumstances, and like I always say, you go somewhere and you act like you belong, people don't screw with you.
Obviously had his eyes on me.
Yeah, and you were probably giving off that vibe like, oh my God, I'm running late.
I was totally giving off the urgent vibe.
Didn't you say to the guy, you know, where's the line for this thing?
Yeah, where's the line? Yeah. The only reason I was walking by the kiosks to get to the line is because there was no way of getting by him and by everybody else that was waiting in that line. And you had two lines converging, people with luggage that they were going to have to check and people that carry on. And it was just, what sucked about it was not only getting caught, but getting caught and knowing you were wrong and not having any of the moral high ground to turn around and say to the guy, even with the guy handling me like that, it was, and that's where I thought he stepped out of line, where he physically grabbed my arm. And that's when I went, okay, if you're grabbing my arm, then I'm going to stay here and try to finish the transaction. Because he was making such a scene at that point that the embarrassment was already heaped upon me.
Sure.
That I was going to see if I could finish the, you know, the minute, you know, less than 50 seconds to get this done. But he won. He won game, set, and match. And I didn't even look up at him and say something like, hey, thanks a lot, a-hole, because I think that would have made it worse. I basically had my tail between my legs and walked away and felt bad after that. And then when we got to the security line, Carla makes the call that out of these eight lines that are going into security, she says, go to the far right one. And that was the only time we caught a break. Because at that moment, they opened up another central security checkpoint, and we flew through the security thing. And it was great. But I felt like biggest ass with this guy. Because you know how I am, and we're the same way in that respect. You want to get something back. You want to get a little comment about the guy.
We are nothing like that. I don't even know you anymore.
Who are you?
Well, who are you?
Well, I'm from Boston. How could it be? I'm from that horrible city with the terrible history. That's how could it happen? It's terrible.
We were in a restaurant over the weekend. And Who Are You was playing on the Muzak.
Uh-huh.
And, it's like, really, it was Muzak.
Who
right?
are you?
And I got to the bar with Who the F Are You? And it
right.
was like, loud as can, in that bar, at that one point. It
was the real song?
Yeah, it was the real song. It was like, Who the F Are You? But meanwhile, there are these dumb tourists just sitting next to us just going, it's a CSI song. That's a funny CSI song.
And at that point, you looked at yourself in the mirror and said, Who are you? Who are you? I don't even know you anymore.
Who the F are you?
Yeah, live and learn.
Hello? I'm trying to call the back room.
Calling the nerve center.
19 more shows in this building. 19 more shows. Right, Tony?
Why'd you cut in line?
Well, now here's John in the studio.
Hello.
Hello.
Figured I'd save you the trouble of pushing the buttons again.
John, a quick question. How's the head lice going? That's the only reason I can figure that you would have your head shaved. Either that or you're in Rob's Aryan Nation.
I will admit to nothing along those lines.
You don't care for hair, do you? You don't like
hair. No, there was a time when I had long hippie-type hair.
But, you look, from the line of the shaved head, like you could grow a full head of hair.
Well, most definitely. Mm-hmm. I chose not to.
What's that like?
Has the show given you cancer? Are you on chemo?
I hate cancer. No sure. chemo.
Okay.
Thank you for your service to our country.
How are we doing? Did Buzz cut your hair while you were sleeping?
Yeah, this looks like where it was cut last time.
We got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Hey, how about a hug?
Oh, I hate goodbyes.
It's the Don and Mike Show.
Stay tuned for an outstanding entertainment program. The Best of Don and Mike.
Thank you, Sonny. Welcome back to The Best of Don and Mike. Well, all week long, we've been hearing about Homeless Lisa. You know, the girl that spent a week in Don and Mike's office because she had no other place to go. Well, the saga continues right now on The Best of Don and Mike.
Now, here is Jacob. I'm sorry, Joshua.
Joshua Tree.
Jacob Tree. Joshua Tree. Now, your real name is Justin, right?
John.
That's what I thought, John. So it's Jerry Tree. Who,
your real name is Todd, isn't it?
Yeah. Jerry Todd.
Pretty much whatever you guys say is okay with me.
All right, Joshua Tree is a guy that works at the station, and he was the bodyguard for Lisa, the homeless girl,
right,
who lived on our office and in our parking lot last, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday?
And Thursday, yeah.
And Thursday. Now, Mike had his panic attack on Thursday. She was supposed to be back in the office.
Did I scare her away because of that on Thursday? Is that what happened?
No, I think she got scared away before that.
Really?
Because she didn't show up at all after she was on the air on Thursday.
You didn't like her either, did you?
I wasn't a fan of hers.
Uh-huh. Okay, but before...
Did Mr. Burbank influence you on that a little bit?
No, I mean, I had spent plenty of time with her to know she wasn't one of my favorite people, but I think part of the reason she didn't come back.
Look at the look on Buzz's face.
Something I said.
Just look at the look on his face. He can't even have the discussion about her.
Before we burn her at the stake.
I don't want to.
In Salem, Massachusetts, let's just find out from Joshua. Was it the fact, do you think, maybe, I mean, that Buzz called her a bitch and the C word that drove her away?
I think that's a big part of it.
Wow. Ouch.
See, way to go, Buzz.
Thanks a lot. Thanks for screwing it up.
Now look what I've done.
For her.
Now, have we...
Did she say anything to you about that?
No. After she left on Thursday, I didn't hear from her again.
Mm. So did you spend the night here in the radio station Thursday night?
Well, sure. Just in case she came back. I felt obligated to be
good guy, Joshua Tree. So what was your last contact with Homeless Lisa?
Never hold on to a friend.
What was your last contact with Homeless Lisa?
Right after your contact with her, when we discussed what had happened Wednesday night on Thursday.
Okay. And so when we talked to her, did we talk to her on the telephone to tell her that Buzz thought she was a bitch?
Yeah, she was out in her car in the parking lot.
She was in the parking lot at that point.
Called her.
Yeah. And then after that, she split?
Pretty much, yes.
Oh, so there it is. No further explanation needed. I mean, it sounds to me like that's what happened.
That's silly. My opinion doesn't matter.
Have we tried to call her?
I just hit again.
And?
Straight to voicemail.
Straight to voicemail.
Well, that's it. She's mad.
Have you gotten any contact at all from her?
No, and I called twice over the weekend just to see if she was...
Well, then that's it. She's never coming back.
So on Thursday night, did you think that there was a chance maybe that, you'd be Caesar and, Roman fingers and all that other stuff?
I was excited. I had brought Risk, and I had brought a bottle of sparkling cider, and I expected to celebrate.
Sure. Sparkling cider. You can sneak booze in here, can't you?
And Risk. You know,
job.
You are a fun lover, Josh.
What was Clue not available? Colonel Mustard?
How about Mousetrap? Could you do that?
The Game of Life.
Sharing the office with her, wasn't that not risk enough?
Now, see, those kind of comments are going to keep her away. She's never going to come back to us.
I would love to have it wrapped up.
I think she owes us a phone call. Now, Buzz is over their mouth. Thank you. I think that would come naturally if we got a phone call with some closure.
And we left her a message this morning saying we'd love some closure, and besides, you need to pick up your sleeping bag.
You just don't get it.
Now, what about...
You just don't get it. You know what's going to get her to call us back?
What?
There's one of us that's going to have to make a personal plea, and it's going to have to apologize. And that man is sitting in the news cubicle.
I think I know who you mean.
Michael Elston as Buzz Burbank.
Even if you don't mean it.
Right. Is there something you'd like to say to Lisa Buzz?
Lisa,
hold on there, Buzz.
Seriously, music would be nice.
You can do this. Nobody can do this like you can.
I can do this.
And the...
Lisa, babe. We were just doing a show. My opinion, it doesn't matter.
Cut, take two. Now, wait a minute.
What's wrong?
My opinion just doesn't matter. Yeah. You can't say that.
No.
Because what you're saying is that you meant everything that you said.
Well,
I did.
See, there's just
not a good apology. He doesn't want to apologize.
And I apologize if I offended her.
That's the killer.
Oh, dear.
Okay, well.
Oh, dear.
Joshua, thank you very much for coming in for 3.5 days. Please. Try to stay on top of this thing.
Yeah, I think it really should be your kind of mission to try to track her down and see. But obviously she's probably put off by some of the comments, and she doesn't want to have anything to do with this. Even though, what was said, you were tweaking it up a little bit. You hardly knew the women. None of us knew.
He got into me, really.
No, he wasn't tweaking it up.
Oh,
that was the sense
really
that I had.
See, my goal is to get her back on the show.
What do I know?
Mike, I'm with you. I'd like to get her back on the show.
As would I.
I think the least that she could do, really, the Bunt stuff aside, is called just to give us an update. And maybe a little, how's your father? Right. Just a little thank you. You know what I mean?
How's your father? Wow.
Well, talking about with Joshua Tree.
Right.
I'll do everything I can to get her back.
You know you will.
Okay, well, all you have to do is...
just get your sparkling cider and your game of Risk.
Still waiting for her.
And my
you know how to treat a lady, don't you?
So what did you picture that? She'd be like spread eagle on our desk, naked?
Were you going to play strip Risk?
Well, here's the thing. I don't want to touch. I just want to see if I could touch.
God,
that doesn't sound too perverse.
Like the way he thinks.
So you just wanted to look at her?
No, I just wanted the ego boost of knowing I could.
The internet age. He just wanted to watch.
So what do you think? Do you think that you could have if if your sparkling cider was tasty and if the game of Risk was exciting and sensual, do you think?
Sparkling cider.
Do you think there was a chance?
I think I could have done it.
Wow.
I could have done it.
Good for you.
You could have gotten her naked?
In your office. And then I would really never sit on that couch again.
And do you think you could?
Oh, now, there we go, pile it on.
Another comment.
Do you think you could have gotten her bottoms off, not just her top?
Yeah. See,
wow.
What we're doing.
All right, say Lisa is halfway here, right? Say she's driving here. Uh-huh.
Well, with each passing comment, she's putting that car in reverse and she's driving further and further away.
I'm simply asking Joshua, do you think... No,
you're tweaking him up is what you're doing.
Do you think that you could have gotten her all the way naked, or do you think that it would be that deal where... Shirt up, bra.
All right, someone's got to speak for Lisa.
Undone,
and it's going to be me.
Or would it be pants?
Lisa said, Don, the day she was here when we interviewed her,
pants unbuttoned.
That there was not interest, and
not
Josh said there was no interest. They both acknowledged that there was no interest.
But he's telling us now he brought his sparkling cider, he brought his game of Risk, he wanted to see.
You are indicating by your commentary that this was all Josh doing, that he could, if he wished. You know, seduce her into taking her bottoms off
with his powers.
I think from the beginning I could have, but because.
Oh, wow.
See?
Listen to this. Well, wow. If you could have, then how come you didn't?
Because I didn't want to.
Oh, you didn't want to.
I didn't want to. But the thing was I felt like I had initiated the, maybe I'm not into this right now, and she followed suit to not look like a fool.
Okay, well, then if you could answer my question again.
You know, back in the high school days, what we used to say.
What's that?
You know, it was when you'd be rebuffed by a woman. You know, when you'd try something, and you know, maybe it was a Friday or a Saturday night, you come back and you'd be with all your buddies on Monday, and you go, ah, she's no good. She's a. And the reason you did that was because you didn't get any. That's what you sound like.
Now I can relate to you.
Yeah.
High school.
Mm-hmm.
Overachiever. You're good in high school.
But now, am I right about that? Did you have guys that would come in and they maybe, and then all of a sudden she turns into super slut because they didn't get anywhere with
it. Do you think that you could have gotten her to actually take her shirt and bra off and her pants and panties, or would it be like that make-out thing where she would be like the clothes are moved because you're pawing her?
Or nothing.
I think I could have gotten voluntary clothes removed from her if from the beginning I had begun working on it.
If from
wow.
The start.
Yeah, from the start. If I had been,
wow.
You said you didn't want to, and why is that, John?
I didn't find her attractive.
Well, she's certainly going to call back now.
Hold on. In fairness to her, because I am being her advocate here, did she not say the same thing about you?
Yeah, she did say the same
thing. Hold on. Mike, I'll be an even bigger advocate for her. Despite what he said, he still wanted to see what she looked like naked.
Yeah, well, that's a normal guy, so
that's just
normal. Not with everybody.
I'm not saying she's categorically ugly. I'm just not into her.
Now, there's a compliment.
But you'd like to see her naked, just to see what's going on.
Right.
Has your association with the radio station resulted in a... better, how shall I put this delicately, a better score for you when it comes to the ways of the ladies?
Yeah.
Well, yeah. I look like David Schwimmer to begin with. And second, look at those gay sideburns you got. When did that happen?
11th grade.
11th grade.
Hold on, here is Yanni Norman.
Oh, I always like it. Yanni's always he's getting
the Josh thing. Was a bit of a stud when we posted his picture, what was it, Tuesday or so. I got a good pile of emails from the lady listeners who would like to meet him.
Really? Wow.
How about you?
Would you consider banging some of our listeners?
I would. If you forward me the emails, John, I'll take a look at them.
He'll do what he can.
Wow, you're a trooper. All for the good of the show.
Right. Sure.
Really?
Yeah.
What is your current status? Do you have a girlfriend, a regular girlfriend?
No, I'm single.
Oh, all right. Very good.
And straight.
What's your last time?
And you are straight? You're not gay?
Yes, I'm straight.
Okay. Because, I mean, you know, occasionally you have a way about you that actually...
No, I'm effervescent.
Okay.
As they say.
Yeah. Well, that's you know what that says to me. Sometimes
faggot.
You're a little Vito-esque.
Faggot.
You know, just a little bit.
Faggot.
But you're straight and you're obviously out there and you're, as John just said, you're getting some interest.
When's the last time you got some?
Last weekend.
Last weekend. Yeah. And was she a willing participant?
Yeah, she was a willing participant.
Is this somebody that you met through the radio station?
Actually, yes, it is.
Would this be someone you met at an appearance, maybe?
Yes, it is.
You know, he's totally candid. I like this.
I don't think it would be Rob. Rob Watson was an employee.
No, not a WJFK.
An ex-employee?
No.
Okay.
It wasn't Mrs. Friends?
Just a random listener?
No, it wasn't a random listener.
Oh, my God.
Future employees?
No. I want to hear you refer to her as Mrs. Friend.
She worked for a client.
Was it Mrs. Barton?
Was it Miss Fullman? No, but if I did, I'd want to be calling them that. I'd want them to want me to call them that.
Mrs. Gomez?
These are all the women, all the beautiful women that work at the station.
Miss Harris, did she show any interest? Oh, Miss Harris has turned me down.
She has?
Yeah.
All right.
Have you hit on, without giving names, have you hit on any eligible women that work here at the station?
No.
You have not?
No.
How are you perceived among the female employees? A subject that really early in our careers we used to discuss all the time.
Have they
had different people were perceived by the female staff? We've never really done that with anybody here. How do the women look at young John, Josh, Jacob?
What do you think?
I think they see me as a funny, friendly, social guy. That's what I think. Yes.
Loves risk.
Do you think that they look at you as the guy who could deliver the high, hard one?
I think they would never want to introduce me to their friends.
How far are you willing to go with the circumstances of your last tryst? Like your past weekend's tryst.
Do you think that they look at you and they go, boy, oh boy, he could just give it to me like for maybe 12 minutes?
I wouldn't be lying if I said I didn't think it for a second.
He really thinks he's a stud.
You know, he does, and it doesn't fit his kind of demeanor.
He's low key.
Which I think is resulting in... Yeah, I'm probably seeing you actually close some deals if you have that level of confidence, but you have this kind of...
Hold on a second.
This kind of goofy way about
it. Testing all of us.
And they might not... Do you feel... Because you're pretty self-aware. Do you think it's that they don't see you coming?
I think it's exactly what it is. I think when I'm out in a bar or I'm meeting new friends, that it's a mix of my confidence and my nonchalantness that makes me appealing.
You gotta flip him over.
You're an ass.
I like you.
I like
you.
Successful ass.
He is a successful ass.
Hello?
Jesus.
Hello?
Oh, I'm sorry. I must have misdialed. Who's this?
Leo.
Leo Donahoe.
Hey!
Leo!
Hey, Leo. Leo's a guy that I've known for eons. He used to work at WPGC when I worked there. He's a sales guy here now.
How does he perceive Josh?
That's an interesting question. Leo, you were, I think, talking with Josh earlier when I saw you. What do you think of young John here?
I think he's great.
Do you find him sexually...
is he the kind of guy that if you were trying to pick up women that you'd want to hang around with in a bar?
Well, I don't know. That's a tough question to answer.
Is he a good wingman? Would he be a good wingman?
I think so.
Do you think he gets more than you do?
I'm not answering that question.
Are you married, Leo?
I'm married.
Don't answer, Leo. Happily, how many years, Leo?
Coming up on one.
Wow. Welcome to the radio business, ladies and gentlemen.
All right, bye, Leo.
Bye-bye.
Good luck.
Did we mention Leo's 63?
I was trying to call Julie, for God's sake.
Right. Julie is very honest, and she'll give us a very, very honest assessment.
Is that why I got Leo? Is that the old list?
I expect her to try 2812.
This is Julie. Hello.
Julie.
Hi, guys.
Hi there. It's Don and Mike, and we're here with Joshua, or John, whatever his real name is.
We call him Joshua. We think it's a better name for him.
You know, you're a happening chick.
Thank you.
Do you fancy this lad in any way?
Maybe you could characterize what the female employees here at WJFK think of young John here.
You know what? He's like an adorable little puppy dog.
Here we go.
He's just precious.
There's not more to it than that?
Well, you know what? My niece spent the summer with me last year, and I would have hooked her up with John if she stayed here.
See? Can I say this to you?
He's a nice guy.
With all love and respect.
He
would love to crawl on top of you.
Mm-hmm.
Seriously.
You know, you might see an innocent little puppy dog, but really the P word is here, and I'm talking predator.
I mean, he would crawl on you like one of those Kodiak bears. He's like, bears go crazy in California Zoo.
Yeah, we're getting a real picture of Josh here. We really are. And, and I think that's why we're hesitant to call him by his proper name. He keeps going John.
Let me ask you, Julie, because you are a happening chick.
Thank you.
Do you think, you met the homeless girl, right?
Yes.
Do you think there would be any way that Josh could have gotten her naked? He seemed to think that he could have gotten her of her own free will to disrobe for him if he had really worked it
from the start.
Well, I think it depends on how much alcohol she was drinking.
That's not exactly a stunning endorsement there.
No. She was pretty drunk on Wednesday night.
Well, because she wasn't that friendly.
Oh, dear.
What are you saying?
She has taken a few steps backwards.
I'm sorry. I'm with Buzz on this one.
Wow.
Oh.
And I was going going to bring her clothes. I was going to, like, help her out.
Yeah.
But she didn't want to be a part of our family.
No, she didn't give. She only took.
It's another bitch vote.
Wow.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, thank you, Julie.
You're welcome. Bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
An adorable little puppy.
You ass. Look at him.
You know what?
He's loving every minute
You've
of it.
You've got to have that attitude, I think.
Can I tell you something?
Right. Yes.
I mean, this about Julie Fulman?
Sure.
I think you got a chance. I am not kidding.
Mm-hmm.
I am not kidding you, Jack.
Right.
Are you kidding?
My clothes
are
business.
You know what you
would
Josh,
do?
The password is Apple Teeny.
You know what you'd be to her? You're like a big disposable razor. You know what I mean? She'd light the cigar with it one time and then out the window.
Sure.
I mean, are you kidding? My God. She'd be like, oh, you could never tell anybody about this.
Get out.
Get out now, boy. All right, Josh, well, keep us informed, and we'll pass those emails on to you.
I sure will.
From the chicks that saw you on the website. And if you do hear from Homeless Lisa, please do let us know.
I will. Thanks a lot for this week. I had a lot of fun. Guys.
Okay.
Thank
All right,
you.
We'll have you on the show again.
There he goes.
Guys, have a good one.
All right, see you later. Thanks for the help.
Hey, how do you feel about wearing outfits?
He gave a thumbs up. See, that's the thing. He knows the value of the show.
We have a way.
He is smart in that regard. He knows the value of the show.
You know, if
Rob, nobody's better for this job than you. Select a proper outfit for him.
Not right now. Take your time.
Yeah. Think about it.
Take your time.
You know, we'll give them a few more degrees.
There's got to be an outfit. It's been a long time since we've had an outfit wearer.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact,
does anybody remember the television show? I think it was the one that Jim Carrey was on. Was it called In Living Color?
Yeah. Yes.
Do you remember when Jim Carrey played the East German weightlifter?
The female? The woman, right.
The woman?
Right. Sure, yeah.
I think just putting Josh in a bikini would be a perfect look.
You might want to tell that to your doctor. But I agree. I mean, whatever. I mean, God knows.
Sure.
We used to dress Rob up in drag.
We put Rob in a bra and green shorts and a wig.
Those were the days, weren't they?
I miss them every day.
Those were the days.
It's a shame we have to break.
And you remember the do you remember the day when I guess you were just an intern and we wanted to see how many Reese's peanut butter cups you could eat in like 1 hour? And your mom called,
and your mom said
not to do it.
Yeah.
And you know what? Can I tell you, your mom is so sweet that she wrote me a note later.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, after Frida died, but she wrote me a note saying, you know, and P.S. Really, at the bottom of the note was, P.S., thank you very much for respecting me and not making my son eat peanut butter cups 12 years ago.
Isn't that wonderful?
She remembered it.
Yeah. You know, we're just coming up on an anniversary that, you know, it could be a historical thing of you at the... At the Bay Bridge on Memorial Day weekend.
Well, yeah, it's very true.
Do you remember that?
All the men
you were down there.
Mike, hold on a second. You don't send a guy to the major leagues.
Yeah, you're right.
Without warming him up.
Baby steps, Don.
Baby steps.
Let me just throw out. I think maybe for his own good, a little of the Misco treatment.
Do you mean?
I mean
basically attaching him to something where he can't move.
Old fashioned duct taping.
I'm thinking about. It kind of is an initiation to the show.
An initiation,
Hazing,
right?
If you will.
That's an ugly word, bud.
That's a terrible word.
I call it a way to join an exclusive radio circle of trust.
Uh-huh.
What you have to do is, we did it to Joe Misco.
Yeah.
And I think we'll do it to Joshua Tree. Which is funny because his name is Joshua Tree, and we can do the tree stuff to him.
Yeah, it's simple, and we don't have to go as far because Misco was a punishment.
That's right.
It was a punishment, but there's certainly no reason why we couldn't put him in a particular position, whether it's sitting or standing in the proper outfit.
Strap him.
And restrain him.
Yes, get some duct tape.
Exactly.
And then we can do some of the Misco stuff, like shave his belly a little bit and put honey on and put those creepy crawler things on
him. It was like crickets.
The crickets that we put on his belly.
Biting crickets.
Yeah. Oh, that'll be good.
Vicious biting cricket.
I'm sure he's very excited.
Just wait till Thanksgiving. That means that boy will be wearing a pilgrim suit.
Fantastic.
And, oh, it's too bad. Easter is past.
I know. We can put him in the bunny suit. Well, we have our Easter bunny.
Valentine's Day. Oh, hello, Cupid. Wearing the adult diaper.
And, you know, the 4th of July just around the corner. And, you know, we're not going to be here for that day. But certainly in advance of that, I would say, Josh, start learning how to walk in stilts.
And you know what? It's not Christmas without a scantily clad elf.
Oh, God, Dewey, that sounded so gay.
So gay.
Did he not go into gay land?
Way into gay
My
land.
My God.
It's like that door wasn't open to go find the pond.
Oh, it's always open.
Yeah, you're 90 minutes ago.
We just covered it up.
Don and Mike, go to break, and we'll be right back after these messages.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
I miss you.
Yeah, you should. You never come see me.
I've been busy.
Everybody's busy. And don't lie to me. I know your father forbids your coming down here.
He doesn't. Honest. He just doesn't want us to talk about you in the house.
Well, you can go shit in his hat. Oh, I shouldn't use that kind of talk. Don't let me ever catch you talking that way.
The Don and Mike Show.
Simply cow teeth. The Don and Mike Show.
Welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Little Sopranos tape there because it's time for a visit from the Sopranos on the best of Don and Mike.
Listen, we've got nothing but bad things to say about the finale of the Sopranos. The midway point.
What's the problem?
Let's go right to the horse's mouth.
I don't understand what you got. We got what's the effing deal? You sit here talking about how bad the show is? I don't put you all to a wall. I don't understand what the trouble is here. Don't smirk at me.
First.
Don't laugh at me. Who's the big guy with the big head?
Bobo Spiewak.
Yeah, you're going to end up in a lime pit.
Yeah,
you don't understand. You don't like the show.
Okay. First.
Give me first. A break. I tell you, I'm not happy.
What about that lame ending?
Lame ending?
Yeah, Christmas.
You want a lame ending? I tell you, you don't like the lame ending? I tell you, you know what you can do with the ending? You can take it and shove it right where the sun don't shine. I'm about to use bad words. How come I can't use bad words on the radio show?
Can I tell you one thing? That there was one scene I didn't care for.
Where's my sandwich?
I know.
Where's my stuff to eat? I always come in and you give me a sandwich just the one time. You don't give me nothing to eat?
I know.
Screw all of you.
Hey, Tony, I got to tell you something.
Yeah, go ahead.
On the show last night,
yeah.
Buzz called me up.
There was the season finale.
That's right.
You know what his favorite scene was?
Which one?
The one where AJ was in bed with that chick.
Mm-hmm.
With that Puerto Rican chick?
All grown up.
Why was that his favorite scene? Why did he tell you that?
Because he called me up and he said, look, it's AJ without his shirt on.
Yeah.
What? This guy, you know, you're the one that always does that to me. I get sick and tired of everybody. It's great to judge, but you know something? At a certain point, you're going to be judged. I had that experience. Everybody's going to be judged.
That's
you're
right.
going to find out exactly what's going to happen to all of you. You're going to be in that wrong boat, and you're going to have to be looking at the light like I did with Calm next to my side, and you're going to just say to hell with it, with your judgments, and you, oh, we didn't like it. Oh, what's a good finale? Oh, the hell with all of you. I say to heck with you. You're all full of it. You're stupid. You don't know what's going on, and you don't know what's going on with reality. All right? And I'm not building this spec house.
Yes, you are.
Yeah, you are now.
Yes, you are now.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. Is Jimmy here?
Who? Oh, the fag?
James Gandolfini.
James Gandolfini. What, you getting tired of talking to Tony? You want to talk to James?
The man who plays you on TV?
All right, get the door. James, come on in here.
Jimmy. Hey, Jimmy.
May I apologize for that? That was way out of line. He's upset. He does not respond well.
Jim.
I'm right here. He doesn't respond well to criticism.
Right. As an artiste.
Yeah.
You could look at it objectively.
Oh, certainly I can.
Last night's episode,
I'm in total agreement with all of you. I've told the producers for quite some long time now that I really believe that the show should be more centered on certain storylines that stay consistent throughout the season. Mm-hmm. Unfortunately, David Chase and his compatriots have felt it necessary to move in so many different directions that they don't follow up.
Right.
And therefore, it leaves the audience and several of the cast members, including myself, just a tad frustrated. Mm-hmm. So I sympathize and concur with many of your observations in a very strong way. So strongly that I have actually met with the producers on several occasions to say, for example, you don't have to linger on the Kevin Finnerty storyline as long as you did. Please, you know, take it to its logical.
That's where you were when you were in the coma.
Right.
But you got to act like the way you are in real life, like the way you're talking now.
I enjoy that, but I also thought that it was it lingered, and there was no need for that lingering. As an actor, you practice your craft. You try your very best to do the best work that you can do,
right.
And you are only as good as your writers.
So
and may I say, in this particular case, the writers may have let us down just a little bit.
Okay. All right, thank you.
I'm so sorry, and I've also offered my services that I would be more than happy to write for Tony Soprano, who is a delightful, a delicious character. I would be more than welcome, more than a... amenable to the idea of doing some script writing on my own. So really, if they want me to do that, I could do that.
What type of dialogue would you write for the adorable Tony Soprano?
I think there would be more...
Off the top of your head, just riff with me.
That's hard for me to do. If you want Tony, you're going to have to get Tony. What I would do, I can say the summaries of some of the treatises that I've written that would actually be prepared for Tony. For example, I would take his relationship with Christopher to a more dramatic conclusion.
Yes.
As opposed to him simply walking away and saying, he lied to me. I would not have Christopher in the home at the Christmas celebration as it was at the end. I found that very very lacking in credibility.
All right, well, let's. I know Tony's
working. I am, in truth, a quite talented scribe.
Really? Tony, come on back in.
Oh, God almighty. Is it getting thick in here? Where are my boots? I gotta get my big BS boots, the giant BS boots that I have to wait to all the BS from Mr. Finity over there. What a bunch of crap. It's crap. The fact is, it's a great show. The whole country watches it, and we're number one. We're always gonna be number one, and we'll lap up. You'll lap up as a viewer whatever I trowel out, all right? All the storylines are good, especially the one where I hit the football helmet on the car with AJ.
Why'd you get so soft with Phil, though?
I didn't get soft with
you
Phil.
You got soft with Phil in the
hospital. Okay, I'm not going to tip my hat because they don't like us doing that, but you wait till the final eight, all right? The final eight, the world's going to come together in the final eight. You're going to understand, all right?
All right.
I thought, personally, if you're going to ask what I enjoyed kicking the frozen head into the sewer. I thought that worked real well. Mm-hmm. That was a good scene. I'd like to see more of that. But I also liked everything about The Sopranos because it's great.
But what about
Isn't
the fact?
What about the
Isn't
fact?
Isn't it a great show?
Hey, Damone.
Don't you like the show?
Who's like a Coke with no ice?
The lady will have the linguine with white clam sauce and a Coke with no ice.
Fast Times at Ridgemont High. That's a kick. I like that. That's a good show. I watch a lot of movies. Not as many as I should. I was watching a great documentary on Stonewall Jackson the other night.
I watched, what were you watching last night? I watched you watching Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah,
having your ice cream.
Oh, damn it. Talking about depression and Abraham Lincoln. Come on. Where's the Hitler stuff? Where's the Hitler on?
Tony.
Yeah.
How can you possibly stand to make out with Carmella?
Okay, you want to talk? You want to talk? Yeah. Seriously?
Yeah.
Like I'm the one that raised the refrigerator? I don't know what she's been eating. A couple of times made me gag. I don't like that. No, that's not fun. You're right about that. But, you know, there are other scenes where I've enjoyed the company of other women, if you know what I mean. It's a pretty good opportunity for my fat ass to crawl all over these women. I think it's great.
Does Edie Falco suffer from VO?
VO? Yeah. Yeah, but it's you don't have to get there. When you're doing a scene, you don't have to worry about
it. Let me say FO, feminine odor.
Either one.
You don't have to worry about doing a scene or doing any of that stuff. It doesn't really matter. But you like the show, don't you? Please tell me you like the show, because I don't want to get mad.
I thought the one last night really sucked. That was really bad.
You say sucked. You look at me and say sucked one more time, I'm going to put you through a wall. Yeah. Do you understand what I'm saying? You use the word sucked. You can say it wasn't satisfying. You'd like it to be better. You know, you'd like it to be nicer. It doesn't matter. But you say that word sucked, and that's it. This conversation is going to be taken to its logical conclusion,
Jimmy,
all right?
James. Jim. JG, my man.
I am so tremendously embarrassed at the last gentleman's comments. I think it's completely out of hand. Please, on behalf of me, Jimmy Gandolfini, will you please accept my most humble apologies? Please, I'm so sorry. I'll say this, Falco can't sneak up on anyone. We concur on that one particular aspect of her hygiene.
How do you like the scenes where you get to make out with Edie Falco?
I find them, for character development, I'm a professional, I'm a trained actor.
What about as a man?
She is not my bag of peanuts, but but I will tell you, yes, that's what I said, my bag of peanuts. She's not exactly who I would choose to mate with in real life.
And I know that this is kind of a wild card, but I think if we open the door, Car may be outside as well.
She would be in the back of the room. If you'd like to have her.
Come on, Carm.
How dare you? How dare you speak of me like that? God forgive you for all of your comments. You are disgusting and rude.
I thought he was your handsome little man.
Where's my handsome man?
How about
God forgive you
for talking about feminine odor.
When Tony gave me that, gave you the spec house for Christmas.
Oh, Tony! A spec house, the inspection came through. This is the best Christmas present ever. God forgive all of you for talking about my feminine odor.
I can smell you over here.
You're going to go straight to hell.
Bye,
say a Hail Mary.
I told you she's a bit high strung.
Yeah.
Very, very, very. She tried to grab my bag of peanuts in the pool. She told me it was for the scene.
Ah.
I disagreed rather strongly. I said, please, can we have Ms. Falco not touch me down there when we're trying when we are trying to do a scene?
Well, Jim,
I'd love to stay, but unfortunately, my time runs short.
We got to know. 1 to 10, and give us a rating, your personal rating on last night's episode.
Oh, good Lord, it was a 4.
All right. Well,
a solid 4.
Thanks for coming in,
Thanks
Rose.
So much.
Thank you.
Good luck.
Nice
to see you.
Ta-ta.
Jim Gandolfini.
Oh, man, you want me to grab the microphone now?
Yeah.
I swear to God, if it wouldn't kill me,
I'd whack him. And sorry about your troubles, Phil.
You are him.
That's it. I thought the show was the best we've ever done.
Huh.
What do you think about that?
Huh?
You can come down to Satriali's, have a chicken parm sub, and we'll sit down and discuss all the nuances and the details. Or perhaps you would like to go for a ride in the country, where I could go into more detail about the way I feel about my livelihood. Capiche?
Hey.
Thank you. I left you a 6-pound salami in the green room.
Oh, that's nice.
That's nice. Yeah, and that's nice. What's the T-shirt? What's that? What's the T-shirt? What's it, elk? Is it elk season?
Yes.
Yeah, you never hunted anything in your life. I hunt people. People. That's right. I whack them. Twist their heads off and all that. I got to go, okay?
Go control your wife.
I got to go control. She's very upset.
I know she
yelling
is.
At me. I'm
she's
like,
got feminine
right,
odor.
Come on. Come on. I'm sorry.
Stinky.
Didn't mean to say that. All
thank
right?
you, Tony.
You stink. All right? Thanks a lot. Take care. Goodbye.
Bye, Tony. And, well, we got a break. Everybody's calling. I guess we might take a call about The Sopranos. Kind of run into the ground.
Oh, Carm!
You know, maybe we won't take any calls. I don't know.
Carm. Hello!
Hi, Carm.
I like your shirts. You're my handsome man. I know you wanted that one more time.
I sure did.
Thank you, Tony. My handsome man.
I don't know. We might be sopranoed out now. I don't know about those phone calls.
That's it's interesting.
We come right back.
Interesting talking to all of them.
Pretty good.
They all sound the same to me.
Pretty good for a guy going through some kind of midlife crisis, Mike.
Yeah, you know, I'm not as young as I used to be.
I know. Found that out before.
Don and Mike to break.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
To alcohol, the cause of and solution to all of life's problems.
If you haven't heard it, it's new to you. If you have, shut up and listen anyway. The best of Don and Mike.
That's right. Welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Don and Mike are on spring break. They'll be back soon. Till then, you got me, your host, Legendary Joe Arnger, with you on this fine Thursday afternoon. It is windy and it is chilly here in the Washington area. Hope it's nice where you are listening to the show. Let's get right back into it. Now, Don and Mike hadn't done this for a while. It's an episode with a psychic, I believe, and it is called Catholic to Catholic on the best of Don and Mike.
This is a psychic, right?
Channel.
Is she?
She's channeling Mary Magdalene.
A buzz?
Yes.
When I give you the high side here, you're going to announce, welcome to Catholic,
all right,
with
Don O'Geronimo and Mike O'Mara.
Oh, that's we can do better than that. Don't you think? I certainly like Patrick Fitzgerald and Gerald Fitzpatrick.
She knows it's the Don and Mike show.
Oh, she knows it's the Don. Oh, okay.
Then just make me like Don Fitzpatrick.
How about Don Esposito?
Okay.
And Mike O'Mara.
Okay. Ready, Buzz?
Just
yes,
to give some authenticity to
here
it.
Here we go. And
you're on the air. Live from the Westwood One Radio Network, it's Catholic to Catholic. And now, here are your hosts, Don Esposito and Mike O'Mara.
Hello. Glory to God. Christ is King. How are you on this blessed Tuesday, friend? This is Don Esposito.
This is Mike O'Mara. We would like to welcome everyone to Catholic to Catholic. We're very, very pleased to be continuing our ongoing discussion of the controversy surrounding the Da Vinci Code.
Of course, this is a movie that was released this past weekend.
Stirring up quite a fuss, I might say.
I myself was thinking about going to the Jeffrey Katzenberg movie, the Over the Hedge. You know, the little ones wanted to go, but I said, Daddy thinks we should watch a movie that's entertaining and interesting, and then we can have a discussion about the events.
When, of course, it was a Saturday visit to the cinema, and then, of course, Mass early on Sunday, followed by a lovely brunch.
Let's welcome now Carrie Carter. Hello, Carrie.
Hi, how are you?
I will wonderful. Go with God, as always. Christ is King, and thank you for joining us.
Carrie, I
on
see...
On Catholic to Catholic.
I see in my notes that you channel the voice of Mary Magdalene, who is a significant character in the Bible. Would you say that this is something that's the high point of your channeling career?
The high point of my channeling career?
Yes.
No. She's just always been there.
Have you been able to take this opportunity, being as you can, allegedly, and I believe you can, to speak to Mary? Have you thought about perhaps making this a revenue source for yourself, so other people could speak to Mary as well? And, you know, who's to say there's not a few pennies in it for you and your website, theangelchannel.com? How about it? What say you?
I really haven't thought about really making it a revenue at this point in time.
That's a problem. I want to tell you something. Do you read the Bible?
Yes, all the time.
So do I. I know. Yes, praise God. I know that it's, I don't remember. I think it's page 87. I was reading the other day, and it was, the message, I'm going to just boil it down. The message.
Now, be careful, because we don't certainly want you to do what you seem to do quite often, which is preach.
We're doing an interview,
and I've always pointed out to you
it's
that...
It's easy to read a psalm.
Preaching is not what we do here. We discuss.
As I mentioned, open any New Testament Bible, page 87, and you will see right there, very simply, what she should be... I won't tell you the story, but what this gal should be doing is... finding a way to market this, finding a way to turn this business around, because let's face it, it's what we do. In a former life, were you not a highly paid attorney, or were you a doctor?
Who, me?
I'm talking now to Mike.
And of course, I did. Before I devoted most of my life to the church, I was a practicing attorney, but that's not relevant right now. What I'm concerned about is I would have, if there were any dollars to come in through the venture, I would certainly be happy to see the money go to the church, which all of my money, every nickel of it, outside of living expenses for a modest apartment and several meals out a year, goes to the Catholic Church.
The Da Vinci Code made over the weekend $74 million in America.
Not one dime, I should point out, went to the church, to the best of my knowledge. Are you aware of anything different, Carol? Is it Carol?
Carrie. Carrie Carter from the Angel
Channel. No, I really don't know where the money went for the movie, and I really don't. I don't know where the money went for the movie. It's not my money.
Well, a tremendous controversy that Mary Magdalene, of course, a tremendously significant character.
A star of the Bible.
A star of the Bible. But, of course, much controversy that she was actually married to Jesus. Mary Magdalene being, of course, the prostitute, correct?
According to Mary Magdalene, when I have spoken to her, and I've spoken to her since I was the age of 5, actually, when I first talked to her, I thought she was the Virgin Mary.
I'll tell you something that I thought I watched The Da Vinci Code, the movie, and I thought Tom Hanks was all right, but as I was reading the book, I thought more, this is a role for Dustin Hoffman. How do you feel? Do you feel Tom did a good job, or do you think Dustin Hoffman might have been better?
Carrie?
I think that anybody that would have played the part would have done a good job. It's the message it's going through, and it's a fun movie. It's something for people to watch and think with an open heart and an open mind.
Is $9 too much to pay to see a film, even a film that means so much, like The Da Vinci Code?
I really thought that Ben Stiller could have done a fine job. I know he's a comic actor, but I thought that perhaps Ben Stiller would have been...
You think $9 would be too much. So the people who don't want to pay $9, when it comes out on DVD, they're going to be able to get it, right?
Ben's silly. It's like, you're being silly. That's like saying, who's another famous funny man?
Silly.
Adam Sandler. You wouldn't put Adam Sandler in a movie like The Da Vinci Code.
No, it's not too serious material.
You would not do that.
Ben Stiller, like many comic actors, Tom Hanks, need I point out to you, was a serious comic actor. I guess that's kind of a contradiction, a serious comic actor. Was Mary married to Jesus?
Yes, she was.
Did they have a prenup? No, because I know that in a former life, Mike, my partner, used to be a lawyer. And incidentally, always representing the wrong element of society.
If you consider the fact...
Shame on you.
Well, if my...
Amen, sister. Shame on you, Brother Michael.
All right. If I can explain. Would you allow me, Carrie, to explain myself?
Oh, yes. I will allow you to explain. There's always two sides of every story now, isn't there?
What Mr. Esposito is referring to is the fact that during my early career, there were three men of the cloth, three parish priests that I defended against some charges. And, of course, all three of them... were found guilty, and guilty, of course, of crimes that were really unspeakable. But I did represent them to the best of my ability. And someone in this room, Carrie, who just can't seem to get by that, has never really forgiven me, as Jesus would forgive us, for doing that.
You have to forgive as Jesus had forgiven. And guess what? There was more divine order because they were found guilty, wasn't there?
Yeah, of course.
So there was a better higher court than you, even as an attorney. So justice is always served.
Carrie, wisdom, you speak with such wisdom, and I couldn't agree more. And I certainly hope that my esteemed colleague, Mr. Esposito, can find it in his heart to forgive me.
Mr. O'Mara, I think you know that for years I bring this up as a way of poking fun.
Mm. Well, it's hurtful. It's hurtful. I say a rosary for you every night.
I don't mean it to be hurtful. Go say two Hail Marys, and maybe you'll feel better. Take a chill pill. Listen.
I've said two Hail Marys while this interview has been going.
You represented people who are less than desirable. When I was a doctor, did I ever tell you, Carrie, did I tell you about the time that I went to Rome? And I went to a nunnery, and there were all these young women that wanted to be women of the cloth. And I said, now, before I became born again, I was a plastic surgeon.
Huh?
And I said to the women, you know, as I looked at these women, and I did not look at them in a sexual way, I looked at them as a man looks at a woman, a sculpture, as I've read in the Bible, you know, it's worship the body, it's a temple.
Mm-hmm.
I said to some of them, you might want something to lift, to separate. There were some C cups that really could have been B's. There were some D's. I helped the girls, women, if you will, these nuns, get themselves into shape. I'm not ashamed of what I did in my previous life. I didn't. Let me just say.
Why are you being so argumentative? Is that directed at me?
I did. What about when you represented...
What have I done? I made an honest living. Now I give all of my money to the Catholic Church.
Did you represent the hooligans who broke in and stole the money after Sunday Mass?
Of course I did.
Wait a minute.
Yes?
Wait a minute. Jesus went out and he didn't judge anybody. You guys should not be judging each other.
Amen. I really hope
He went
that...
out and preached peace and love.
Yes.
You guys should not be judging each other, and you should not be casting the first storm.
Carrie, I have to share something with you. Are you a Catholic?
No, I believe in God.
Oh, dear.
And that's not what organized.
The name of this show is Catholic to Catholic.
We thought that because you channeled Mary Magdalene, that you indeed were a Catholic.
We hate to be inclusive.
Wait, how do you know Mary Magdalene was Catholic?
Of course she was.
I think we all know
that.
Okay. Let's not
talk fantasy. When I channel Mary Magdalene, I'm Catholic. How's that?
I was 5 years old, Father McDonough taught me that Mary Magdalene was Catholic.
And you believe everything you hear?
Of course I do.
Well... then why don't you talk to God firsthand and ask God what he thinks?
There's no need. My faith is stronger than that.
Carrie, what is your given religion, if we may ask? After all, the name of our show is Catholic to Catholic.
We build this show as the show by Catholics for Catholics. Catholics.
Well, I just have a great faith in God, and I honor all religions.
Do you observe all the holy days of obligation?
I think every day is a holy day. I get up praying, I go to bed praying.
Do you go to the Stations of the Cross?
No. I have a rosary.
Excellent. All right. Was it a hand-me-down? Was it handed down through the generations?
No, it was bought from the Lord. It's a very nice, wonderful wooden rosary. Very beautiful.
If you don't mind me asking, how much did you pay for it?
Always cost with you, Mr. Esposito.
How much did it cost?
You got
did you
that
pay?
From your father, Joe.
It was a gift.
It was priceless.
That's
priceless.
Wonderful.
Well, are you officially a Catholic? Because the rule on the show, we don't mean to be inclusive, is if you're not a Catholic.
Not inclusive, of course.
As far as a Catholic, I was christened a Catholic.
Oh, that fine, fine. That's acceptable.
And you're a Catholic for life.
You're Catholic for life. That's fine.
Okay,
and then that's the rule.
I was christened in a Catholic church. I guess I'm Catholic for life, right?
The only controversial point that we make on this program, of course, once in, forever in. And of course, goes against some of the teachings. But, you know, we don't go along with all of the teachings, but we do say once you are, you are. And nothing can change that.
We are also very old school, as the kids say.
Mm-hmm.
That
Old Testament.
Let's face it. I'm sure you agree, Carrie. Birth control has no place in our lifetimes. I have 17 children myself, and Mike has 6. I could not be a happier, a prouder father.
I'd like to also point out that both of our mailboxes, we live in the same neighborhood, and our mailboxes have the names, both our names, in Latin.
Well, that's just lovely.
Thank you.
Does the mailman know how to get to you, or is he Catholic?
He knows. He knows the Latin translations. I mean, he knows because we've been there for the neighborhood for years.
Yes, the name of some of my children.
So well, he must be Catholic, right?
There's Luke, and there's Matthew, and of course there's John.
How about Mary? And how about Mark?
I haven't gotten to the daughters yet.
Now, please, hold on. You're kidding. Hey, you know, I have 17 boys.
I know.
You know, I was featured on Primetime Live.
Pretty amazing.
When I was, and I'm sorry, it's a previous life, when I was the Beverly Hills Plastic Surgeon of the Year, and excuse my French, I was known as the breast man. You know, it's like a joke.
You should point out the fact
that at a wedding, there's a best man. I was the breast man.
Before people consider you an oddity, you were saying you have 17 children. 16 or 17 children?
17
children. But, of course,
boys.
Three different mothers of those, and two of them, of course, who passed during childbirth. You should point that out. That's always important. And don't forget Linus, Ignatius, and Noah.
They're all beautiful, my boys.
No Moses?
My little Moses. Actually, I'm like George Foreman. I've named three of my boys Moses. Mm-hmm. George
but
Foreman named all of
them. Parting of the sea, right? It makes fishing very easy for you.
It does indeed. That's
you
very,
know what
very
movie
clever.
I found
so you're
very
taking
funny.
Advantage of that, then, are you?
Did you ever see Bruce Almighty with Jim Carrey?
Yes, I did.
There's a scene
a
where
ridiculous
he,
film.
He takes... Oh, I disagree.
Oh, please.
He takes his finger and he makes the tomato soup like... Moses parting the sea.
If you want to know a really good film, watch The Ten Commandments. It is as fresh today as it was when it was made. I believe it was made in the early 1960s.
Do you have any idea how much money Jim Carrey got paid for being in that movie?
Bruce Almighty?
He belongs to the Catholic Church, you know.
Do you have any idea? He belongs? Of course.
Probably.
Of course he does.
He had to be Catholic and give his money away, or he wouldn't have been able to make that movie.
He made $20 million.
I went to grade school with a Paddy Carey, P-A-D-D-Y Carey, a wonderful Irish lad that was a bit of a troublemaker. He had lots of fights.
Oh, did you represent him in juvenile court?
No need. And not everyone that was an associate of mine in my younger days I've represented. It was the priests and the hooligans.
Christ is King, and let's not forget the passage of the day. We'll be reading that momentarily. And later on the show, the taste of your communion wafers. It's something you rarely hear talked about on the radio.
But there are differences, and there are differences in cost and flavor, and we will be going into great detail. Just remember that the church you go to, my friends, is not always the church someone else goes to, and you can actually experience a different flavor at different, and it's something we can talk about.
Speaking of flavor,
Patty Carey only fought when drunk.
Can I take this moment to mention we're having our fish fry on Friday?
How much is it going to cost?
As you know, mm-hmm. The fish fry on Friday, what we do outside the studio, we put like a Salvation Army kettle out there. We're going to be at Our Lady of the Bloody Crucifixion, and we hope that everybody comes by. We'll be there with our big, gigantic
I think
kettle.
It's a wonderful opportunity to get to meet some of our listeners. It's $9.95. That includes the dinner. Everyone that leaves gets a free loaf of raisin bread, and they can enjoy the camaraderie of fellow Catholics, and we can discuss all the issues we discuss on the program.
And, of course, we have, some of the extras. Valet parking is
Virgin
there.
Mary statues for the dashboard of your car, which are, some have said are out of style. I don't believe they are.
Actually,
no, I
heard that you can hold it under a light bulb and the Virgin Mary actually will glow in the dark, almost like the little Hawaiian girl thing that you have that does the hula dance.
Now, here's the trick about the fish fry, and everyone should know this. We only bought 7 fish, but they will feed hundreds. And watch how that happens. It's a trick that we're doing, and then we're kind of simulating a major, wonderful story the kids enjoy in the Bible.
Cool. Are you going to make fish soup?
You know, when we...
She's a clever one.
She is.
You know, I hate it when that... It wouldn't be fish fry if it was fish soup, would it now, Carrie, my smart little lady?
If you take the soup and fry it, maybe.
You can't fry
and
soup.
Besides, maybe we can...
Silly.
Maybe I'll have a wafer cookie.
We're going to have... Now, we have to break because you've been fascinating. When we come back, we have the Catholic Comedians Corner.
Well, I guess, you know, now that she's brought it up, I will tell the truth what we're doing. I think it's clever. We're frying seven fish, dicing it into small cubes, and we're putting that on Domino's pizzas.
Well,
secrets out of the bag.
Union wafer cookie
still counts as a fish fry.
That will be perfect.
And an equal partnership with the Catholic Church.
In a moment,
we have wine.
Yes, of course we will have wine, sacramental wine.
In a moment, we will have our comedian Catholic Corner, and today we're going to be joined by two very, very funny men. Both of them dedicated to the Catholic lifestyle and the Bible. Jerry Seinfeld and Gary Shandling will be our guests.
So look forward to that. We'll be playing clips from their albums and their wonderful, wonderful talented men.
Have you seen the Jerry Seinfeld television show?
Me? Yes.
Have you seen? Now, do you find the Bible messages in that show as we do? I understand it's raunchy. I understand at times they talk about things you should not talk about, but this seems to be the underlying message.
Well, I can explain it. We've discussed it on the show. If you watch it closely, you will see that the character of George Costanza is actually Judas, the character of Kramer is Peter, and the character of Elaine is Mary.
Carrie, what makes...
Jerry, of course, being Jesus.
What makes a good Catholic?
Praying every day and giving all your money to the Catholic Church.
Well, and then I guess that I win on both those counts, unlike my colleague here, who I think skips a day or two once in a while as far as the donations. That's why he lives in a real home. Pardon me?
He does a couple extra Hail Marys or something.
He prays every day. I know. Don, you pray every day.
I've written out longhand the Lord's Prayer 18 times during the show, one for each of my 17 sons, and a silent prayer. But tonight I can go home and have number 18.
And I wish you the best of luck. That's, of course, why you require the space. I, myself, due to circumstances beyond my control, live in a one-room apartment. That, of course, one room, bedroom, dining room, kitchen. Or I should say...
Well, your money's at the church.
Yes, it is.
That's
it
humble
is.
Of you.
But I can sleep at any Catholic church anywhere in the United States.
That's true.
Yeah, and really, if you have the right type of sleeping bag, you can make yourself very comfortable in a pew.
And you can drink wine and eat wafer cookies.
It's been wonderful talking with you. Yes. Without rubbing it in other people's noses, ain't being Catholic just the best thing ever?
Carrie,
yes.
Perhaps say a message or a word from Mary Magdalene to end this segment.
She sends blessings to all.
Mm-hmm.
And she says for all of you to have a blessed day.
Ditto.
Wonderful.
And make sure that you're all Catholic.
Wonderful.
Well, we are.
Pleasure.
We are, and it's good talking to a fellow Catholic.
Peace be with you.
Peace be with you, too.
Are you going to early Mass on Saturday?
Yes,
or late
I will be going, I will be going to the early Mass. And I'll
you
be
know,
going
it's
to
the holiday weekend.
Yes, and that's why I'm going to the early one, the 8 o'clock on Sunday, and I'll be doing the 5 o'clock on Saturday evening also.
You're a show-off, you are.
You enjoy Mass, and maybe I will see you at the fish fry.
Thanks so much.
Can you hold on, please? You'll need to speak to one of our producers.
Okay.
Let us offer each other a sign of peace.
We ask all our listeners now, if you would join hands briefly, as we say fairly well to our guest, and peace to all.
And to you.
And I hope that someone told you that for appearing on this show, you receive absolutely nothing. That is how we do things. We don't have much of a budget.
Sacrifice is godlike.
It's in the Bible, page 1,800. I've memorized it. It's a great book. It's a good read. The Da Vinci Code is a good movie.
Yes, a movie, and of course a good work of fiction.
Thank you, Carrie. Hold on, please. And thank you for being on Catholic to Catholic.
Thank you for having me.
I'm Don Esposito.
And I'm Mike O'Mara.
Hold, please.
Hi, Carrie. Hi, it's Rob. You're off the air. How do you think it went?
I can't wait.
Yeah, they are a joy, and we really enjoy it. We hope to have you on.
Joy.
Always sure. Have been.
Be alone. Mm-hmm.
God bless. Right, bye-bye.
Peace be
Rob, you forgot to come up with a name. You would have to have a name, too.
Francis Spinelli.
Francis.
Just Francis Fitzpiwak.
God.
You and the fish fry. You got me with the fish fry.
That was something different,
yes,
wasn't it?
A little new twist with
I
the
like
same,
Same voices.
A little mellower, though.
Never try to pigeonhole us. It can't be done.
All right. Go out and do it, they say, on page 98 of the Bible during this break.
Mm. That's right. And that, of course, passage is, enroll your kids in soccer.
We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
It certainly is a beautiful day. We should thank the leader.
Who the hell is that? Some kind of leader?
Yes. He's the head of our perfect family.
Why don't you come chat with us about the leader at the Welcome Center?
Will there be beer?
Beer is not allowed.
Home and no function beer well without.
Would you rather have beer or complete and utter contentment?
What kind of beer?
The Don and Mike Show.
Corn. Enjoy it a second time. Second time. The best of Don and Mike.
I'm on my second beer.
Stop it now.
And welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. Hey, don't forget, WJFK is giving away a trip for two to Tokyo, Japan for the world premiere of Spider-Man 3. Go to WJFK.com now. Click the Spider-Man 3 logo and get the web word of the day. Listen for your cue to call. 10th caller with the web word qualifies for the trip. We'll draw the winner on Friday. Now let's get back to the best of. Well, this is an interesting segment. I don't really recall this one, but I do recall what had happened. My wife, Tracy Baby, got struck by lightning through our computer one afternoon. And I guess it made it to the best of Don and Mike.
Where's Joe? Is Joe all the way in the very back room?
All the way behind us, yeah. I want to hear about his wine.
Yeah. Let's bring Joe into the studio first.
Because Joe's got a little story to tell, and I don't think we want to do it on the intercom mic.
No. Now, so let's get the world's oldest phone screener here. Oh, let me make sure that the phones are up again. There yes. We go. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello?
Yes, can I get the call letters for the Canadian station you got?
Hey, Joe, what are the call letters for the Canadian station we got?
C... T
T
A U
K
B
C A U
U M
Chum
C C
T U
legendary. John Norman, do you have the call letter? C T K B. He just told me. It's 6:10 AM C T K B.
How did he tell you and he didn't tell us?
We have ways.
Again, Mike, it's that secret intercom thing.
It's driving us crazy.
John just talked in my ear too.
Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello. Hello.
Oh, radio show.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, I'd like to hear Bill Shatner cut loose.
Did you cream your hands today?
I saw you two brushed hands as you were both trying to push the same button.
I went to push a button, and Rob went to, of course, compulsively clean something up. And for a moment, it was like, I felt like...
You're blushing.
I felt like Fay Wray.
Yes, in the clutches of King Kong.
His giant monkey hand.
Jessica Lange. I felt like Jack Black. I'm using every goddamn King Kong reference now
and
again.
Who was the chick in the last one? What was her name?
Naomi Watts.
Naomi Watts, very good.
Hello, Don and Mike Show.
Hey, guys, did you get the CD I sent you a couple of weeks back?
Yes,
thank you very much for sending it.
Great, thank you.
It's great. Hello, Don and Mike Show. Hello.
We're trading it amongst each other.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
Hi there.
This is Josh, the Happy Mailman. How you doing?
The happy, as opposed to the angry mailman.
Oh, and you know what that is? That's a nickname. I'm terribly sorry. Yeah, you've been disqualified.
Right. Boring.
Bye-bye. Nope.
Bye.
Nope. Sorry.
Nope. Everybody's right.
Happy mailman.
Rules is rules.
Mailman.
Parts is parts. Hello, Don and Mike Show.
That's mine.
Hello.
I just wanted to let you guys know that was a pretty good segment. Wireless, traveling wireless. I was just wondering, are you going to name that segment? Like, go out for a walk with Don and Mike or something?
That's catchy.
Yeah. I think I'm going to call it what I used to call your mom, the receptacle.
Oh, come on, man. My mom lives in Forestville, not Rockville.
We're just having fun.
Yes,
that's exactly what we're going to call it. Let's go for a walk with Don and Mike.
Taking a walk with Don and Mike.
No, more words. He did it with more words.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Walkies with Don and Mike.
Let's talk to VI for a second.
Yeah.
Joe Ardinger, of course, world's oldest phone screener. Hi, Joe.
Hello.
Now, it was late yesterday in the show that we had some killer thunderstorms move through the D.C. metro area.
Mm-hmm.
And Joe got a call that at the time, now yesterday again, as I mentioned,
right,
with the mumps and everything, mm-hmm. I was just in such a crappy mood when Joe was telling me that his wife had called and said that she'd been hit by lightning or something. Right. I almost said, oh, come on. That's like Mike's ex-wife.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's like Laura. Mm-hmm. Like, because every time there was bad weather, your ex-wife would say that...
would call him.
That
anytime there's a tornado.
That it would be right by your house.
It was right by the house.
Now, I bit my tongue, mm-hmm. and goddamn if that doesn't hurt. Yeah. I didn't say a thing.
Is that why you were bleeding from the corner of your mouth?
And
see, I thought that was simply internal.
Joe said, hey, Don, Tracy, baby, got hit by lightning. And I said... just bit my tongue.
And we all chalked it up to, you know, it was Joe being Joe, and we didn't think
absolutely.
About it until he came in today, and apparently something
Joe.
Really did happen.
So what happened to your wife?
Well, like I said yesterday, there was a lightning bolt in our alleyway. She said she heard a pop. The computer went out. Internet went out, and we lost a television set.
So you got almost a direct hit at your house.
Yeah. So, and she also said at the time, she said, I feel numb on my right side.
Jeez.
And my jaw and my face are tingling and numb. Which I thought was strange because the window to the alleyway is on the left side if you're sitting at our computer.
Do you think that's because of all the lights you have in your basement?
Lights?
Yeah, the big halogen lights.
Oh, yeah.
All your growing lights.
Right. Did you say that she, what were her symptoms again?
Tingling sensation and numbness.
Okay,
and having sex with me.
And she felt some pain also?
Yeah, in her jaw.
That's nothing that Carrie Spiewak doesn't experience every day.
True enough, Mike.
There's so many ways you could go with that. You could go with that, or you could go with sex.
Right.
So I went home and checked everything out. Turned out our cable was still working. I hooked another television set in the upstairs. It worked.
Good.
The modem was getting a cable signal, but the computer was not getting on the internet.
La, boring, not listening. Get to the part about your wife being hit by lightning.
Okay, so this morning, got a new modem, fixed everything. She sat down at the computer and realized that when the bolt hit, she was holding the mouse with her right hand.
So you think the lightning, actually, the electricity traveled from the mouse into her body?
It destroyed our modem. It destroyed the Ethernet wire going into the computer. So I had to wire it through the USB. I mean, all this stuff I learned this morning.
And is she still affected by this today?
Yeah, she's in bed today.
She's in bed today?
Yeah, because she was okay in the morning, but it came back. Now, we did all the research on this.
Does she smell like burned bacon?
No.
When
does she
holds
have the
light...
strength of 10 men?
When she holds a light bulb, does it light up?
No.
Bester. Can she read minds?
You know, I saw an ad today for a movie.
She would be a mastermind.
I don't know. I'd be a mastermind. Maybe with one of the Wilson movies... one of the Wilson brothers.
Luke Wilson.
Or Owen, or one of those guys that looks like it.
Ian Dupree? Luke
no,
Owen.
No, not that one. It's one that's... but my ex-girlfriend is a superhero. And it was the first time I'd seen the ad. Looked funny as hell to me because the guy breaks up with a chick who in real life is a superhero, has a dual identity.
Mm-hmm. She like throws him against a wall and stuff. I forgot who the actress is that plays the role of the superhero. But I saw a trailer for that also.
She's good at it. She appears to be believable as a superhero.
It looked like it might be a funny movie.
Now, on the other hand, the one that you just mentioned, the one with Owen Wilson, to me looks about as dumb as and predictable as it can get. He's the house guest that won't go away, right?
Why do you have a problem with that, Don?
I don't understand. You just you got to go with the flow. It's just Owen Wilson. I carved it out of wood. You got a problem with that?
You know, Owen Wilson is just Bruce Dern reincarnated. I'll tell you.
Okay, Buster Brown. How about I just pluck your eyeballs out right out of the sockets now? Can I do that for you?
You know,
not working, is it?
I don't hear that.
No, don't hear it. No, I don't look at the Owen Wilson movies.
You know the one that I was telling Rob that would be good for tomorrow?
Yeah.
Johnny Depp, but Johnny Depp as he is in that Pirates of the Caribbean movie.
I'll try to study. I'll do intense study right now.
Because I've not seen the movie, but I hear it's your Keith Richards impression. Done at a little faster speed.
Really, it's like that. So that's about making me like that, huh?
Captain Jack Sparrow.
I'm Captain Jack Sparrow.
All right, well, I'll study and see what we can do.
Oh, okay, thank you, Rob.
Yo ho. Oh, this is the pirate song from Disney. I love this.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. Yo ho, yo ho, a pirate's life for me.
Daddy, I don't want to wait in line anymore.
Study my Johnny Depp, because I can't do Owen Wilson. La 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 la.
So, Joe,
he sounds like Jesse Jackson.
What's the story with your wife?
Well, she's at home resting, and we called a doctor. Thank you, Rob. there doesn't seem to be any need to go to the emergency room. These things just kind of wear off on their own.
All right, we'll get out of here. Thank you. We'll take some calls.
Love you, Tracy, baby.
I love it when Joe does Joe.
Yes.
You know, it's fun.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
It's a good story.
Hey. Like Don, though, it's Uma Thurma in that movie.
Uma Thurma.
Close.
Uma Thurma.
We were both close. Thank you, my friend.
Okay.
I'll tell you what movie she's a total piece of ass in. And it's an awful movie. The follow-up to Get Shorty.
Be Cool.
Be Cool.
That movie is a suck fest.
John Travolta is
the worst movie I've ever seen.
John Travolta is like a wax dummy in that movie.
Horrible movie.
Harvey Keitel is awful in that.
And then they try to make up for it like when they roll the credits by having everybody dance real crazy-like. You know a movie's a suck job when the director says at the end of the movie, hey, this movie really sucked, so as we're rolling the credits, we want you all to dance to a real catchy tune.
But Uma Thurman in that movie is a piece of ass.
I think she's great in everything. You know what I really thought that she was the ultimate piece of ass is that Batman movie she did, where she played Poison Ivy.
She's a good redhead.
Very much so.
And here's a guilty pleasure for me with that movie that we were just... The awful movie Be Cool.
Yes.
Vince Vaughn.
Who's also bad in it.
I am in love with it. Doing the white guy who speaks black and is like a pimp all the time. Like, what are you jonesing me for? And he wears
his fur coat.
Fantastic pimp clothes. I mean, that's on the High Def channel.
I see it more than I should,
but I can't help but laugh at him.
And you're supposed to suspend disbelief when you're watching a movie like that, but like when they're all brandishing their guns on the set of the movie where they're filming like a rap video.
Yeah.
Come on.
Oh, and Uma Thurman.
Make a little effort. That's all I ask.
Uma Thurman may be uber hottest in The Producers. If you ever saw the movie.
I never saw it.
Shots with the bustier.
Oh, my God. Still, you know, like Pulp Fiction where they jam the syringe into her chest.
Hello. Mm-hmm. Don and Mike show. Hello.
Sexy.
Hello there.
Wait 1 second. I just wanted to say that Mike looks great on that DirecTV thing with Mini-Me. I got to go.
Mike looks great on the DirecTV thing with Mini-Me.
Don't
know what.
Hello,
that's
Don
about.
And Mike show.
No idea.
Hey,
hello.
Guys. How y'all doing?
Hi, we're doing great. Thank you.
Good. The movie's called My Super Ex-Girlfriend.
Right. Yeah. Looks,
the one that you're talking about, yeah.
Looks funny, but then again, a lot of things look funny. Although, you know, something that holds up time after time is that goddamn 40-year-old virgin movie.
Yeah.
Now that it's on HBO, they go through a cycle on HBO. When they get a movie, they run it so much that you hate it.
Right.
And then it's like gone forever. And now it's the point of saturation where pretty much it's on every single day.
It's one like any really great comedy. You can watch it again and again and again. And I think that is a fantastic movie. It's fun.
The shark flying through the window at him, though, I think will be a classic part of the movie, though.
Be Cool, though. You watch Be Cool, don't you? Even though it sucks, you just can't take your eyes off.
Well, I'm a fan of Elmore Leonard, the guy who wrote the book.
Right.
And
isn't the book a hell of a lot better than the movie?
Oh, yeah. Are you kidding me?
Right.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. And he wrote, the thing is, he wrote the book as a follow-up with John Travolta in mind for the role of Chili Palmer.
If you want to enjoy that movie more, take a good look at John Travolta's hair in that movie. Because John Travolta's hair, I swear to God, it's starting to be paint your bald spot.
I told you, he's like a wax dummy.
It's weird, because it's not even the plugs. It's just this straight line where his hair is, and then it looks like shoebox, you know, shoe leather. It's
and
amazing.
Every once in a while, you see him like wearing his Kiwanis Airlines thing, because he's going to fly a real airplane with people on it, like in Australia or something like that.
He has a house that's an airstrip.
His hair tends to look like a steak.
Hello,
steak laying on.
Hello, Don and Mike. Hello there.
Hi, Don.
Hey.
Mike.
Hi, you're on the air. Hi.
Yeah, my friend Joyce got electrocuted through the radio last week.
I hope
it wasn't our reverb, sir.
you say electrocuted. Do you mean she was killed, or is she okay?
No. She was hit by lightning, and it came through the radio that she was trying to turn off because there was a storm.
I tell you what, that's one hot station. That's a promo for Mega 98.6, a laser station.
I heard about a guy that...
Lightning round. Oh, there we go again. It's time for a lightning round.
I heard about a guy, I think it might have even been a cop, that actually got electrocuted through the radio. Where it can anywhere that there's a chance for receiving a signal, it can definitely come in and get you.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Yeah, this is Red Buttons. I'm calling from the crypt.
Red Buttons. Now listen,
there it is.
Gotta say, it really was not airworthy today.
Yeah.
However, Rob was scooped? But who scooped you on that?
John brought in the fact that it was Dead Button.
Yes.
Dead Button.
Regretfully, Red Button has left us.
And my autograph doubles in value.
Yeah, shut up,
we're
eBay.
Aware of that.
eBay monkey. eBay Kong. Climb with confidence.
Ape Bay.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Twinkle, twinkle, baby. Twinkle, twinkle.
Right, okay, one more, and then I know. Oh, I know, we got the Larry thing.
Oh, yeah, I'm so in the mood for some Larry today.
Hi. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, Radio God.
Howdy.
Hey, what's going on?
I want everybody, please don't think that I've forgotten about Buzz's story about his problems.
My airport with nightmare.
Security.
Yes. I got a little insight on this. Buzz actually, you know, got physical with a transportation security officer.
Really? I didn't think she'd mind.
Hello. Hello, what can we do for you?
Stud.
Yeah. I've got a comment about Be Cool and Uma. It reminds me a lot of the Naked Gun series with Priscilla Presley. She carries it just because she's so hot.
Yeah, and God, you look at Priscilla Presley now.
What happened? I mean, there's, well, is that the plastic surgery gone bad? Or
yeah.
Is it, she had, when I saw her, I forgot what show it was on. It might have been the American Idol thing where they showed her. Was she carrying around? She was either pregnant or she had some little basketball going on down there.
We discussed that, I think. We talked about the fact that she had like a little, like a kangaroo pouch.
And then from the neck up, it was monster. It was absolutely
new and
terrifying.
Improved Joker product.
New and improved Joker product.
Mike, she doesn't have a paunch. That was a bulletproof vest.
Don and Mike, hello.
Hey, Don.
Yeah, hi.
Yeah, the word electrocuted means killed. You actually have to be killed in order to be electrocuted.
Yeah. I knew I was right when I corrected that guy. If you say electrocuted, that's what happens when they you know, they put you in the big house and put you in the chair.
Yeah. All right, guys.
Gotcha. Yeah, if you haven't been killed, you're just shocked.
Shocked.
Okay.
Bye.
Shocked. See you later. So we're not electrocution jocks.
No, we are shock jocks.
Shock jocks.
That's right. If we were electrocution jocks, we'd be killing people with our comedy.
Got a break. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
Gosh, I hate to interrupt. It's all been so incredibly fascinating and entertaining and instructive. Really, the time has just flown by.
The Don and Mike Show.
Like a backwards brain fart. The Don and Mike Show.
And welcome back to the best of Don and Mike. I've been your host, Legendary Joe Ardinger, with ya. And we're almost done for the day, but we've got one more segment for you. But before I go, I want to remind everybody, for all things Don and Mike, go to donandmikewebsite.com. You can check out all the goings-on the show. Don and Mike will be back for spring break soon. And since I've been working on it a little bit today, don't forget to check out my MySpace page, man. Joe Ardinger, it's the official one, the real one, with me and my dog on the front. And also, if you want, check out Joe Ardinger Music on MySpace, just for grins and you know what else. Anyway, have a good evening, everybody, and I'll see you tomorrow.
I actually got up Saturday morning, and I got up so early. I think I got up at about 6 o'clock, and I was so excited. I was so excited. I wanted the day to start. We were going to go out on the boat with the girls and my girlfriend, and I really wanted to go early, because there's one thing I know about where I keep my boat. If you're there after 12 noon, you're there, it's rush hour. And everybody's there, and it's crazy. And people that do this, at least around here on the Potomac River, they go out on the river late in the day. So I wanted to get down there early. And unfortunately, that didn't work out that well. Elizabeth and I were the only ones up. Everybody else was sleeping. It was kind of
frustrating.
It was frustrating. And then I think when I complained about it, and Carlos said, well, I need to take a shower. I'm like, okay, I know you need to take a shower. And she said, well, it's my weekend, too. And at that point,
I know. You didn't want to hear that, though.
I didn't want to hear that because it was Father's Day weekend, and I was a little bit frustrated.
It's not her weekend.
But it's Father's Day weekend.
That's what I'm saying.
Well, it's Father's Day.
Hmm?
Sunday, actually, just one day.
Buzz, excuse me.
Yes?
Let me just speak on behalf of those who are not shooting blanks.
Actual fathers.
When you actually plant the seeds, trust me, with all the crap you go through as a dad.
Yes.
You deserve the 2 days.
Well, you deserve weeks, not just one day, but it's just one day.
But I think, do you think it should be an entire weekend, or do you think it should be one day?
Well, you know, isn't Mother's Day really always an entire weekend?
It seems to me that I was a little spoiled, and I wanted it to start when I wanted it to start, but I didn't communicate that with anybody, so I wasn't sure whether I communicated it properly.
Did you make them all wear party hats?
No, it wasn't like that. It was just that I wanted my day to be my day.
I know.
I did. I really wanted it to be.
Well, tell me then what? Are you looking for something?
No,
you...
I'm just.
Why is your hand in your pocket?
I know. I just wanted to. I don't know whether I wanted to. I want to talk about this. I'm not sure.
Oh, now come on.
It's, everybody goes through this at some point.
Mm-hmm. Come on, what was it?
Hmm?
What was it? It must be some pimple, right? A pimple on the relationship in some way.
A minor bump in the road.
It's that we've been together 2.5 years, and I think that what the main problem is that she wants what normal people at 25 would want, and I'm 47 this Friday, and it's the discussion that we had about a year ago, and now it's the discussion we're having now, and it's very frustrating.
Please elaborate.
What questions? Here's the way I'll handle this. I will answer any questions you have, and I will answer them.
Well, okay.
Because it's difficult for me to talk about this. This is a new me on
the
show.
Why? Okay, you just answer my first question. Why did you bring this up?
Because I want to be more open about my relationships. And I want to share things like you share on the show. I want to do a little bit more of that, but I'm not accustomed to it.
Okay. So, you are 22 years older than she is.
21 and change.
22.
You going to round off to the upper number, 22?
Rounding up.
I thought we rounded it down to 20.
No, 21 would be honest.
21.
Mm-hmm.
21. What is the biggest thing that she wants to do that you don't want to do?
Have a child.
Okay, well,
but the thing is, I'm not sure.
Here's the thing.
We'll we've had honest discussions about it, and I'm not sure I want to be a Larry King. I'm not sure I want to do that.
The last time you mentioned this on the show,
mm-hmm.
I mean, there are things you say I do remember, and I do remember you saying, you said something to her along the lines of...
Hold on, I got to take a Xanax. Hold on.
No meds during the show.
I got it. Hold on, I got it.
When did we start that rule?
What?
No meds, well, not for you, of course, Buzz, but for everybody else.
All right, go ahead. Ask me anything you want to ask.
Christ.
It's probably for the best.
What, that I'm taking one right now?
Yeah.
I just really
They don't act that fast. I mean, you won't be relaxed until it's time for the news.
Well, then maybe I'll talk about it some more, but this is very stressful for me.
Placebo.
Sugar pill?
Placebo.
We filled this pill with sugar.
So, what is it that she wants to do that you don't?
Well, I think she wants to have a child, primarily.
Okay, thank you.
And
now,
very definitively, she says this, but I also say...
Didn't you tell her the last time you discussed this on the air?
About a year ago. It seems that we had a serious discussion about it probably about a year ago.
I think it was absolutely after Frida died.
Yeah, you're probably right, around a year. Well, that's right. That's about a year ago.
You were talking about, more recent than that, when you had a really good weekend with her, and I was kidding you, something about, like, be careful, and you said, hey, nothing's out of the question.
Nothing is out of the question.
We talked about it. You never know.
But I do know one thing. I know where I'm at right now, and I know where I am at. And right now, I'm not sure I want to be... And I know Larry King's 100 years old, but I'm also not sure that I want to do that again, and I've been honest about it. But she's also a very normal 25-year-old who wants what a normal 25-year-old would want. But unfortunately, it's frustrating for her because she's in a relationship with somebody who's so much older, and it gets difficult. And these are the things that come up, and I think really...
And she had the audacity to bring this up on Father's Day weekend?
It was probably last night. It was the end of Father's Day.
Yeah, on Father's Day.
It was Father's Day.
Technically, yes.
At the end of the night.
Yes.
And it started going back and forth in a very caustic way. We were kind of fighting. We were kind of sparring. And I think we sparred at each other maybe because I was, in kind of a mood with Father's Day. Because it's that thing I talked about before with the whole guilt situation.
Right.
And then at the end, I said, if we keep arguing, we go back and forth like this. I said, what's wrong? Are you in a bad mood? No, are you in a bad mood? No, well, I think you're in a bad mood. I think you're uptight. I think you're uptight. But the fact is, we were both a little uptight. I think I was uptight because of the aforementioned guilt factor where I had to pick my kids up, drop my kids off. And any holiday, whether it's their birthdays, whether it's Christmas, I've been down this road before. You got me to talk about it that one time when I talked about it. Feeling like it's frustrating when you're on Father's Day and you got to drop off your kids on Sunday night. And I didn't feel great about that, and I was a little uptight about that. I think that she probably felt the tension that I was feeling all weekend, and I was probably not all that, easy to be around at all times. And then it got beyond that into where we had a serious discussion about where we are. And we will be, we're approaching, I think we're at the 2.5 year mark. And so, we've been together a pretty long time. And like anybody in a normal relationship, we've been very honest with each other about it. That's one thing I refuse to do. I'm not going to sit here and try to pretend that I am not at a space in my life where I am. And she's the same way. She's also not going to look at me and say, hey, no problem, and, I can go on like this forever, because I don't think she wants to.
Right.
I think she wants what a lot of
women, you know, in her age group would want, that down the road somewhere she would want to have a family. And that's where we get to a point where it gets frustrating. And the only way we worked it out, because it got really tense.
Yeah.
And the only time it worked out is when we started talking about it very seriously. And you know what? It's a drag because I know it's what she really, really wants. At least that's what I think. And I don't know whether it's something I would want. I also don't think it's something that I want to close the door on because I don't know yet. But one thing I do know is right now, if you ask me at this moment, no, I'm not ready. I am not ready even remotely for this right now in my life. And it is. And then we got by that and we moved on. And I think what I'm feeling today after Father's Day weekend and what I woke up feeling, even though we were getting along great and everything is fine and we're going to stay together, is that, you know, if this situation doesn't resolve itself, you know, at a certain point, this might be really the end of our relationship because it is such a significant way that people want to live their lives. I can't be so selfish that I'm going to look at her and say, you know, it's me. It's me. It's only me. And that's it. And I don't think that, you know, she should be expected to say, you know, if you're, you know, you have to have a kid with me or that's it. But unfortunately, if this is what two people want, it's a pretty significant place to be at, and, you know, it might not work out. So
that's true of anything, really.
Okay. That's it. But we worked through it, and then we said, you know, this is a subject that we're going
to,
you know,
you don't have to decide today.
Tackle somewhere down the road. And it's very sad. It's very frustrating, and it's very because I really wish that I hadn't gone through a circumstance where I'm so afraid to, you know, to make that kind of a commitment to somebody where I couldn't just say, yeah, whatever, because I just don't think, I don't know, because I'm all squirrely from going through what I've gone through in my life, and I think that your past does influence how you look at your present, and it's very, very frustrating. And why are you, I'm waiting to see if you have anything to say, because this is on the couch. You're going to shake your head and say you don't have anything to say. This is not like leaving me outside with the listeners.
No. This is dangerous territory.
It sure is.
She's also picking me up at the station tonight because we're going to a thing tonight. So be aware that you will perhaps have contact with her.
Well,
this evening.
All talk about it down in the garage.
Yes, we can all have a little group and chat. But you know what? The only thing I chose to do, and I think the only thing she's chosen to do, is be honest about it.
That's good.
No ultimatums have been given in this situation. No my way or the highways have been given in this situation. And this is very stressful for me. And I think that it's very probably stressful for her as well, but you don't, you know, I'm not alone in this. I'm sure other couples, younger couples, couples closer in age have had these discussions before. And sometimes when you're ready for something in your life and another person's not, it can be, you know, it can be a deal breaker. I hope, I pray it's not because I love this woman an awful lot. This woman has been so good to me and helped me through so many other aspects of my life. It makes me both sad and mad at the same time. It makes me mad and frustrated that because of what I've gone through, you know, and because of the reality of our situation, you know, that that's where we are. Right. But that's it. And that discussion was probably all of 45 minutes last night. And I, too, was having that discussion during a game. I paused my Red Sox game.
There you go.
No, maybe I didn't pause it. Yeah, I think I did pause it on TiVo.
Sure.
So with that said, you know, I'm still with Carla. She still loves me. I love her. And these are the realities that we face. And I hope she doesn't mind me talking about this, you know, on the radio. But, you know, I do like to purge because I don't do this enough, and I think it's been very good for you. So that's it. That's my – I don't think I left anything out. I think I kept everything in it. And you're going to say nothing.
Well, I don't want – this. Do you want my opinion, honestly?
Not with that look on your face.
No,
because you're going to say something that's going to make me sad.
I'm not going to say I swear to Christ, nothing hurtful, like not a joke.
Right. Okay. Sure, of course I want your opinion.
Sounds to me like your mind's already made up.
And it sounds to her like my mind's already made up.
That if that.
But also, the fact is, I said, I don't want to lose you over this. I cannot, but I cannot say 100% for sure. And I said, you know, at a certain time, if this is so important to you, and I'm not there yet, I understand how you feel, and it makes me sad, and it makes me feel horrible about it, but I also understand the reality of that. And that's all that I can
say.
When
you say that, okay, you already set the plate. I mean, that sounds to me like you've already, that's why I hesitated to say anything, when you started from the beginning. It sounded like you're where you're at. We all know why you are where you are where mm-hmm. you're at.
Right.
Mm-hmm. We understand where she's at.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it's either so you don't have kids and you live with Mike and you share Mike's kids, or
she's wonderful with my kids, gets along great with my kids. But I can understand. I mean, it's not, you know, it's not like this is something that's completely out of, you know, left field or something that's abnormal. And there's not like, you know, I'm getting any kind of ultimatum. I'm just getting really an expression of the way she feels and the way it's her feelings, and she's getting mine. And man, it ended, although positively, it ended with kind of it's right now something that I think we both have to think about, not necessarily tomorrow, not necessarily 6 months down the road, but at some point,
Yes, you do.
Yeah.
I mean, sorry, but yes, you do, because you can talk all you want about her biological clock.
Mm-hmm.
The fact I know you kid about it, but really.
Oh, Don, I would be able to father children until I was 80. I've already been screened for that
longer.
Your
sperm is not in question.
Mm-hmm.
What I'm talking about is, and God, I'll sound awful for saying this. You know, I've had this discussion with my girlfriend. Unfortunately, it's not, you know, she's 42. It ain't going to happen.
Right.
And that's fine with me. And she's resolved herself to that. Mm-hmm. But I've said to her.
Makes me want to punch a wall sometimes.
I have said to her, as much as I love Bart, and since Amy's come back into my life, I love her. I love them more than life itself.
Right.
Jesus Christ. To think 20 more years? 20 more years, and I got news for you. When they get to be 21, in the case of Amy, 29, it doesn't stop.
No.
Mm-hmm. It don't stop. And you're talking about going all the way back to the very beginning, and this time you'd really feel the pressure to do all the crap you didn't do before.
Yeah.
You'd feel the pressure to go to every goddamn parents' meeting, and every goddamn... And I'd listen. It's you, it's not me. That's strictly my opinion.
Well, you know, you've got a reality. You've got a reality of the situation that we're in. And that is the reality. And there's nothing I can really do about that. I can't change the fact that I'm going to be 47 on Friday.
You tell her she wants a baby. You tell her the same thing. I told my girlfriend, you're with a baby.
Well, she knows that already.
I said that to her.
I'm pretty sure I've established that. I've been together with my girlfriend for a very long time. I think she knows that right there. And you know what? It's so frustrating because there's no, you know, it would even be better, I think, sometimes if it was like, this is the way it's got to be, this is the way, and it's not like that because there's love on both sides, and it really, oh, gosh, it's frustrating.
Yeah,
it is very, very frustrating.
Okay, last thing. Sounds like she knows what she wants. Sounds like you know what you want.
Mm-hmm.
You're both just kind of dancing around.
Yeah, you never know. I don't know. I'm not, you know, maybe we are, maybe we're not. I don't really know. I don't know. And that's, you know, that's the part that is very, very difficult. And that was how my Father's Day weekend ended. But it ended with an honest discussion about our feelings and where we are. And it's, you know, it's something that... it probably could have gotten heated. It probably could have gotten a lot more negative than it did, and it didn't. And I'm glad, and she knows I love her, and I know she loves me. And she's very good to my children, too, which is extremely important to me.
Of course.
It's very, very important for me.
Then why won't you give her what you want?
Thank you. I knew you were going to do that eventually.
Then why won't you give her a love child?
I haven't said I'm not.
I understand.
You know what you are?
What? What
you're
am I?
CTs.
Yeah. Maybe I am.
You're a child tease.
Maybe I am indeed.
You're a BT. You're a baby tease.
I am not a baby tease.
Hi, Carla. I don't know. Maybe we will. Maybe we won't.
I don't think I'm the only person that's ever had that discussion. The only difference is that 20-year thing you mentioned. That's what I got sort of, you know, hanging
on. I'm amazed you'd have that discussion. Like I said, I love my kids more than anything. Mm-hmm. Are you kidding me? 20 more years of this crap?
Mm-hmm.
20 years of going to PTA, of going to Pinewood Derby, of going to every goddamn summer camp, of being the parent that has to go to all of the crap. Jesus Christ. No! No.
Yeah, but you've also also had that situation in a total complete way, which I have not had. So that's a factor as well.
Well, then
your life has been a little different than my life.
Then really, to cut to the quick, the truth of all of this is, if you trust her enough, you'd, I mean, not that the two go exclusively, but if you were sure that you weren't going to get screwed over again, you probably would. Because you want the family unit to stay together.
Right. Yeah.
You would like a family unit that is not a broken home. But you don't, and it's no offense to Carla.
But the honest answer is, the real honest answer is, It's not that I don't trust her enough. It's that I don't trust me enough. I don't know. And that's the thing that, you know, you're saying, you know, you've already made your mind up. That's the one thing I have not made up my mind. I don't know. I don't know how I feel.
That's how it sounded. I mean, you'd know better.
You know, I really don't know
how it sounded.
I really don't know. I would be, you know, if I really knew the answer to that right now, at this stage, if you said today, no, I don't want to do that. I don't want to do that today. I also know that there are moments like, for example, when Carla was responsible for getting me together with my own family at Christmas time, which had been tough for me to do after all the crap I'd been through, where I said, you know, this is a person that is nurturing, loving, caring, and it's, you know, I said I should, you know, do this. We hadn't had the discussion at that point. It's an honest, open discussion. I'm sure, you know, just because that we have our age difference, it's not like we're the only couple in the world that have, you know, not had this discussion.
Not at all.
I think a lot of couples have this. The difference is, you know, I'm not Larry King age, but I'm also not, you know, I'm not in my 20s anymore. So it's, it's right. And I don't think that, you know, it seems to me that guys that do this, that there's a type of guy that has children late in life. And I don't know whether
if you're that type of
Rob's
guy.
I don't know if I... And that's in my mind. Unfortunately, the type of guy that I see are these famous guys that seem to me that they don't really give a rat's ass.
I don't think you should.
Michael Douglas.
They don't.
Hi, how you doing? Hey, there's my 2-year-old. There's my 1-month-old. What my older children? God, I forget.
Exactly.
Gee, who are they? Hey, look at my cute kid I made.
Whether you're together or not, I mean, that's how I feel about that. I really do feel about that.
All right, doctor, we got a break here.
Thank you so much for the...
How do you think the session went, Mike?
Now that the Xanax is kicking in, I think it's going quite nicely.
I really don't think you should take that Xanax while you're at work.
I'm sorry. I did, and there's nothing you can do about it.
Mike, you're a grown man.
But you want to reach down my throat and take it out of my tummy right now.
I can't
but you're
stop
right.
You.
I didn't need it, because now it's going to kick in during the commercial break.
Of course it will.
I'm going to be damn funny at the end of the show.
But remember, now, not so much drinking.
Yes.
For the rest of the show.
I know.
Just
I know.
For the rest of the show.
Yeah, all right, take a bottle away, put it back in the office.
Until you get home.
Doesn't matter.
Then you can drink.
Doesn't matter to me.
God's sake.
You're going to be fine.
Pull out. Or whatever it is you do, keep doing it.
Okay.
For now.
All right.
What?
Okay.
What? I told you.
What? You said pull out. I said okay. What do you want? What more do you want from that? You want me to deal with that?
Is that the method you use?
Ah, that's where it's going with this.
Of course.
No. I have, in order for me to have a child, do you want the truth?
Do you wear rubber?
The truth? Yeah. No, in order for me to have a child, I would have to have a reverse vasectomy.
Come on, you're such a liar.
Yeah, I am.
Do you wear rubbers?
Huh?
Or is she on the pill or do you wear rubbers?
We've been down this road. We've had this discussion before. We've had this discussion. You have engaged me in this, and you have remembered. You made too big a deal about it to forget.
Mike, I swear to God, I forgot. We are now discussing you having a baby.
We use the Catholic method. I've had this discussion with you.
I don't remember.
Go ahead. Now, do the
swear
exact
to God,
same
I,
thing you
I
did last
God,
time.
I swear to God, I don't remember.
Always the
gambler. Whoa, hands up in the air.
No.
Waving back and forth. I'm very, you know, that's what we're doing. If, you know, if something happened, it would not, that would be, I would think that there were bigger powers about.
You should try what Carrie and I do.
What do you and Carrie do?
Total lack of intimacy.
he's got two.
Yeah. Can't do that. Yeah. Can't do that right now.
All right, Leaky, we got a break.
So I'll let you know, where we are.
Remember, all it takes is one drop.
I understand.
Just one tiny drop.
I've been to those classes. I've seen those movies.
You taught them.
I did. I taught them for a long time.
One of them little tadpoles?
Yeah. I actually pointed with the little pointer.
Get a little swimmer in there?
And I sounded just like Art Linkletter, too.
Wow,
okay.
This is a very queer thing. Well, happy Father's Day.
Thank you very much. And other than that, I had a great Father's Day.
Oh, good.
A very good Father's Day with wonderful gifts from both of my kids, where I had a little framed picture of Elizabeth, and Catherine made me a homemade coffee mug. So it was very good.
That's nice of him. When you get home tonight, Carla's going to have new keys for you. New keys made.
New keys?
Yes, new keys.
Very good, yes.
New keys
and a new residence.
That's right.
No, I don't think that's happening.
The gift of relocation.
The gift of relocation. No, I love her very much and she loves me.
Yep.
I don't doubt that. Mm-hmm. And
what I expressed was the realities that I think a lot of couples face.
Yep.
Not a lot of couples in our demographics, though. That's the difference.
More than you think, probably.
Probably more than... I mean, yeah. Probably a few more.
Sorry, we're out of time.
So we meet again. Sammy Davis Jr. saying, be kind, be nice, and I hope the next performer has the pleasure of having as nice an audience as you've been tonight. And let me leave you swinging.
This is the Don and Mike Show.